play perfectly.
I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush heads to Jordan when he leaves Latvia to meet with the Prime Minister of Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki.
What you're seeing on TV has started last February. It was an attempt by people to foment sectarian violence, and no question it's dangerous there and violent.
I'm Mark Noller in Riga, Latvia. On the eve of his talks in Jordan with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, President Bush is once again digging in his heels, declaring the one thing he won't do is withdraw U.S. troops before the mission there is complete. But under pressure at home to change direction in Iraq, Mr. Bush used his speech here to say he'll be flexible and make the changes necessary to succeed there.
The Baker Commission is finishing its work on suggestions for how to adjust U.S. strategy in Iraq. No word yet on any consensus. Two men have been indicted in a terrorism case. The U.S. attorney in Houston, Texas, says they tried to send money to the Taliban and planned to join up with the terror group. Video games affect your kid's brain. A study at Indiana University School of Medicine studied the brains of teenagers who played violent video games. Even after they stopped, the emotional parts of the brain remained aroused. The self-control centers were diminished. The long-term effects of those games on the brain not yet been studied. Nothing good to be said for tanning beds, not where your health is concerned.
The International Agency for Research on Cancer was asked, in essence, to study a lot of studies about tanning beds. Its conclusion, you raise your risk of getting skin cancer as much as 75% if you start tanning indoors in your teens or 20s.
It's a very deadly disease, and people who are young don't think they're at risk.
Dr. Patricia Wexler of New York's Mount Sinai Medical Center speaking for the Skin Cancer Foundation. The agency says tanning beds have absolutely no positive health effects. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Police in Goose Creek, South Carolina say the elementary school teacher was not depressed, certainly not suicidal. So how did she come to drink ethylene glycol, the colorless liquid used in antifreeze at school? Investigators are asking students, wondering if maybe someone spiked her drink. There are charges brought now in the death of a teenager at a Florida boot camp for juvenile delinquents. Benjamin Crump is a lawyer for the boy's parents.
Martin Lee Anderson is looking down today and he's saying, my mother and my father can rest easy.
Seven former guards and a nurse face aggravated manslaughter charges. Governor Jeb Bush says let justice be done. Alicia Cartwright says she's had a flood at her home. 287 water bills came to her house in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She says she's hoping to work it out, so she only has to pay just the one. On Wall Street, the Dow gained more than 14 points to close at 12,136. The NASDAQ up nearly 7. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Samantha.
Hi there. I locked myself. I shouldn't say I did. My dogs locked me out of my car.
Oh, sure. Blame it on the dogs. May I please have this OnStar PIN number?
536.
In most cases, OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors.
Now, the vehicle, is it currently running?
No, it stopped for fuel. I'm sure one of them must have stepped up on the door handle and pushed the button.
See, I always tell people, when you got animals in the vehicle, you got to bring them out a treat. This is what happened.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
Okay, so the signal's going through right now. There we go. It's unlocked.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great day.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services cost only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Penalties have been handed down for one deadly coal mine blaze. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The January 19th fire at the Aracoma Alma Mine No. 1 in southern West Virginia left two miners dead. The State Office of Miners' Health and Safety is recommending that the mining certificates for seven Massey Energy employees be suspended or revoked for violations which led to the accident. The incident happened less than 3 weeks after the Sago mine explosion, which claimed the lives of 12 men.
A 12-year-old girl who said she'd had to do too many chores is charged as a juvenile now with trying to kill her mother, burn down the house, and fake her own abduction. The mother in Peru, Indiana, awoke to find her own bed on fire and her three children missing. Turned out the 12-year-old took her 6-year-old sister and 8-year-old brother with her, according to the police, and then told them on her mom's cell phone they'd all been kidnapped. But it couldn't hold together. Harley Carnes, CB.
Allison.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
You've just left the office. You've been incarcerated all day long. You don't know what's going on. And you tune into Enid Live, and we find out what's going on. And if we don't find out what's going on, we at least have one great, vibrant conversation, and we do it every day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7, right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join that conversation and be part of it. Most of you never bother to call. Tisk, tisk, please do. I'm encouraging people who have never called the show to please do it, because only the most minute fraction of you ever pick up the phone to call. And therefore, there are many of you out there who have great ideas, great thoughts, wonderful senses of humor, terrific takes on things, and we never hear from you. And you would enrich our conversation and our understanding of things and our good time immeasurably if you would call. So, if you call, it's always toll-free. It does not cost you anything. If you're a little bit nervous, so what? We're all grown-ups here. Everybody gets a little bit nervous. You'll get through it, and you will make your point, and more people will hear you probably than you will meet in the whole rest of your life. You could alter the dialogue. You could change people's minds. Maybe influential people that you don't even know are listening. So, if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. You can email me, Enid, at kctc.com, and we stream live, 1320leftchannel, that's one word, .com. And my shows are archived on White Rose Society, one word, www.whiterosesociety.org. So we've had some wonderful guests. We will continue to have wonderful guests. And those are the you can find those interviews on WhiteRoseSociety.org and previous shows on WhiteRoseSociety.org. And we have, there are lots of things going on. And let me see if I can figure out a place to get us started here. Well, first of all, let me start. I have a file that I keep of what I call odd jobs. And you would be surprised at what's in that file. Well, for example, There's a deodorant company in Ohio requires people who will sniff your underarms. Now, that is a pretty odd job. Closer to home on the Golden Gate Bridge, there are people who change the lanes with the lane cone, the lane-changing cones. And that's kind of an odd job to have because it can be kind of dangerous. And there's a person who goes around to science exhibitions and he can blow square bubbles. Well, maybe it's not so hard to do that. But these are some very odd jobs, and you might want to add to the list of odd jobs. I don't have it right now at my fingertips. But here's another odd job, a whole bunch of them, in fact. I remember reading the Wall Street Journal, and a woman had made a ton of money because she's got a cleaning service. It's not just any old cleaning service. It's a cleaning service for crime scenes. So you know how grisly a crime scene can be? There's every kind of gore and blood and bodily fluids and mayhem and everything else. And once the police are finished, you know, doing what they do at a crime scene and all the forensics and stuff, then at a certain point, that thing has to be cleaned. If they don't, you know, burn it down and gut it completely. And somebody's got to do it. And there are companies that specialize in that kind of thing. And they charge quite a lot of money for doing what they do, and you could well imagine why they do it. Well, there is a new TV show called Dirty Jobs. And this guy has had all kinds of dirty jobs. These include having been a septic tank cleaner, a horse inseminator. Now, we spoke around Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving. Turkeys are so dumb and so overbred to have big breasts. They're all like Dolly Partons, except they can't even stand up and walk. And they have gotten too dumb almost to breathe that they cannot mate. And one solution early on to the mating crisis was to make these little, I'm not making this up either, these little these little things for the male turkeys to little saddles, you know, with little holes for the wings to go through for the male turkeys to mount the female turkeys. But somehow that didn't quite work. It was a little labor intensive too. And anyway, what they have now are kind of turkey jerkers is what they do. They inseminate. And you have to be real careful because if you're not careful with these turkeys, they can really turn on you in a big way quickly. So this guy who is now hosting a show on TV called Dirty Jobs has had the following jobs. He's been a septic tank cleaner. He's been a horse inseminator. I don't think he's been a turkey jerker, but a horse inseminator might be even more dangerous because they're bigger. He's been a pig groomer. An avian vomitologist. Vomitologist. I did not know there was a specialty for it. You know, I don't know if they're in more demand than a teenage vomitologist, but what the hey. He's been a hippo wrangler, a chicken sexer, a fish gutter, a bat biologist's assistant, a sewage treatment plant operator, a garbage collector, and he has been an exterminator. He said, "Ideal, you know, these are jobs that have had to, you know, they have to be done for real." And he has done some of these jobs. And it is one, it's on the Discovery Channel, and it is one of the most watched shows on the network. I have not seen it, but if you've seen it, I would love to hear from you. It is apparently an unsentimental and generally very funny salute to the working stiff. So these are tough jobs that require, you know, these are bleach-challenging, back-bending, nose-clearing jobs. These are, somebody's got to do them, and somebody does, and I don't know if you get to charge a whole lot more for doing them, but you really should, but some of these are amazing. So this has to go in my odd job file, but if you are, as we approach the holiday season, first of all, if you have a job, you're lucky, right? That's number one, because a lot of people don't have jobs, and they want to have jobs, and everything in the world is being outsourced, and the biotech jobs are being outsourced, and some of the high-tech jobs are being outsourced, and there's hardly anything that's remaining here. What, insourced? Would that be the opposite of outsourced? So if you're lucky enough to have a job, don't be driving home bitching about your job. You tune in Enid Live to get some respite from your whole day of incarceration. You should give thanks for having a job because you could be a turkey jerker. You could be an avian vomitologist. You know, the vomitology that we are all dealing with on a daily basis is usually more metaphorical, more figurative than literal. Thank goodness for that. But people have to deal with bodily fluids, bodily parts, you know, the detritus of being a human being in a tough situation, and any number of crime scenes. Have you ever had a job like this where you've done this kind of work? You know, that we know what they say about politics. You know, it's like a sausage. You never want to see it made. So there's probably, you know what, they probably have at the state capitol a political vomitologist right there on staff. Probably on Schwartz's staff. I don't know if he barfs whenever they say something or if he just cleans up the political barf, but you might have some thoughts about jobs that can be created in the capitol based on this list that I have given you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. It sort of leads into an essay I saw today. You know, we're in the holiday season and we're getting a little bit more thoughtful. And I'm going to get to politics and have lots of things to share with you. But I saw this and I thought it was really interesting. And let me share it with you. This is written by a doctor. It's an essay on why hospitals are cold and why doctors don't cry in public. You've been to a hospital. Everybody's been to a hospital. You don't want to go to a hospital. A, you don't want to be hospitalized. And B, they hardly hospitalize you in these days anyway, in an age of drive-by medicine or drive-by payment of medicine, unless you're just about on death's door. Otherwise, everything is drive-by medicine. You know, you're in, you're out. That's it. Things that used to take. For example, I remember when my grandmother had cataract surgery lots of years ago. The treatment was to put you in the hospital for 7 days and sandbag your head. You could not move your head at all because the surgery, it would ruin the surgery. I recall hearing those stories. So they had sandbags around her head. And well, now, you know, you have cataract surgery. It's, you're in, you're out. You know, it's all in the doctor's office. It's all outpatient. It's very simple. But anyway, you don't want to go to a hospital for a lot of reasons. It means you're really sick if you go. I mean, if you're really sick, I guess you do want to go to a hospital because that's where you will get good care, we hope. But also, if you're not sick and you're visiting someone, that's where you can pick up a lot of diseases. There are a lot of antibiotic-resistant diseases that are now blossoming in many hospitals. I say all of that because, you know, sometimes we have to go. This is the time of year when maybe some people are in hospitals and some people are going to hospitals. And there's something about this time of year that I find wonderful, because look at the weather. Today, the weather is gorgeous. And your goddess did swim in outside, as I have been doing, and I'm amazed that I'm doing it. It's outside, an outdoor, unheated pool, and I know it was supposed to get to freezing last night, and I'm assuming it did because it felt a lot colder in the pool today, but I managed to swim laps. So here I am, and I hope I don't have to, I hope this doesn't cause me to go to any of these hospitals. But this time of year, I'm saying, is a time that is, we're having holiday parties, we're celebrating the season, we're celebrating friendship, we're celebrating the ideal of family and friends and closeness, even though 25% of us don't have anybody to confide in, and we are confiding in fewer people than we had 20 years ago. So it's the ideal we have. And while Baghdad is burning or Iraq is burning, we are out shopping, but that's another story. But there's also something sad about this time of year too. It's the winter solstice. It's the days become shorter and shorter in terms of light. So we have festivals of light and so on. So there's a kind of sadness, and then there's a kind of celebration that we do this time of year, just like it's a spiritual time of year, but it couldn't be any more materialistic than it already is. So that little dance is something we're doing. Well, when I saw this essay about hospitals, I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was really interesting. And this is written by an MD, and it's not the sort of thing that you ever I hear doctors really say out loud to people, but the guy who wrote it is the director of infection control at a very fine hospital in New York, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. He said, recently, I almost cried in front of a patient and her family. The scene was a basic one, a dying woman, her concerned husband, her startled, kind-hearted sons. Standing at the bedside, we talked a while about what a long haul it had been, how hard she had fought. Their eyes misted over, and I, too, felt a sob rise. But rather than weep then and there, I quickly shook their hands and left. And then I went to the stairwell, where I had myself a little cry. Nothing dramatic, no howling or barking, just a brief shiver of sadness, a tear, and I was done. The hospital stairwell, once the province of smokers, now plays host to those who need to sneak away when the going gets tough. Given the intensity and high-voltage anxiety of serious illness, public crying in hospitals by patients or family or staff is less common than one might expect. Sure, it goes on more frequently than, say, at a department store or restaurant, but more often people remain buttoned up, dry-eyed, determined to maintain composure. This stiff upper lip strategy often is miscast as further proof of the chilliness of the hospital experience. You know, cold doctors and colder hallways. And surely, placed against hospitals' behavior across the decades, their institutionalized rudeness, the titanic narcissism, and the casual disregard of patients, families, and everyone in between, a sob-free doctor can look bad. But often overlooked in the cataloging of hospital crimes against humanities is this uncomfortable truth. The cold, cold heart of hospitals has somehow created something useful, even crucial to society. The medical center is responsible now for the hardest job in the world, because this is where people end up when the facts can no longer be hidden, when there is no more escape. A hospital's modern responsibility is to bluntly deliver to the dying the unhappy news that this is it. The jig is up. Nowhere else can such impossible information change hands so routinely. To offset this bleakness, however, the unrelenting hurry of approaching death is pulverized into 1,000 pain-free little maneuvers that make up the daily routine, something only a full-service healthcare institution can do. Monitoring the potassium, adjusting the antibiotics, getting the latest scan result. This is a full-time job, enough to keep a patient and family completely distracted from the awful truth. The welter of information, so much of it useless, is the accidental genius of our current healthcare system. And it works. Witness the difficulty so many face with dying at home. Almost everyone confronted with the choice expresses the wish to die among the familiar surroundings, all the necessary pieces, visiting professional care, a hospital bed, an IV pole, the works can be gathered with relative ease. Yet frequently, it gets too, well, emotional. Sitting in a den or dining room awaiting death is too intimate, too personal. The free fall toward the end, too breathtaking. So patient and family return to the bustle and insensitive self-importance of the hospital. And they get the full Monty, the reassuring whir and hurry of blood samples run at all hours, portable x-rays taken in the next bed, scratchy announcements over the loudspeaker, and the never-ending supply of dry-eyed doctors run amok, full of opinions and chatter and contradictory advice, a tear, much less a sob, from one would shatter the entire unnatural protocol. This odd arrangement did not occur by grand design, but somehow two of today's towering certainties, death and corporate insensitivity, have found each other and have merged their mutual awkwardness into an almost functional whole. We now give our loved ones the perfect send-off from life in the information age. A shower of facts delivered crisply and without drama by the unruffled doctor in the hall of the Ice Palace, that American hospital. Making this improbable system work requires a habitual stiff upper lip, but it's for a good cause. So, thank you, but I'll keep my eyes dry in public, at least for now. This is by Dr. Kent Sefcovitz, who is the Director of Infection Control, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, a very top-notch hospital. So it's sort of the distraction as you're nearing the inevitable. You know, everybody's close to that off-ramp. We just don't know where. Nobody knows where it's going to come up. It doesn't matter what your age is. You know, we're all in the checkout line. We just don't know when we're going to come up to the cashier. We just don't know when we're going to cashier it out. But when you are in a hospital and there's the busy routine of, you know, you're terminal and they're waking you up in the middle of the night for blood tests and for this and for that, and the minutiae of all this stuff to get your mind off of what is really going on, a distraction. It's kind of like what we have seen in this administration, as a matter of fact, where they have all these distractions from what's really going on. But your thoughts about this, and as we approach this holiday season. So I was thinking about these jobs that are dirty jobs, the jobs that nobody wants to, nobody says this is what they want to be when they grow up. They might wind up with these jobs. And some of them are quite remunerative because not a lot of people are standing in line to do them. You know, working in morgues, for example, cleaning, you know, sewer work, pig groomer, hippo wrangler, a vomitologist, an avian vomitologist. I mean, you look at these kinds of jobs, and, you know, they're not the kinds of things that you thought you wanted to be when you grew up, but you could do well at them. And then you look at the minutiae of life and how it distracts us from what's really going on. So whether it's at the point when you're really, really ill and you're in a hospital and the inevitable is happening and it's just too huge for anybody to contemplate, so you're happy for this minutiae that goes on in the hospital and everybody's looking at everything like it's business as usual and everybody is dry-eyed and everybody's got a stiff upper lip. And it's sort of like in life in general. You know, you meet people, you work with people, their lives can be falling apart, but they're happy to have the routine, and you don't even know it. either until you sort of get into it somehow, or things reveal themselves over time, and you find out that all kinds of stuff is happening, but the routine of daily life, that's sort of what keeps us moving. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. On this Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, our traffic is lucky as well. Hardly any at all. We do have a crash over there, northbound 99, just south of Florin Road. Otherwise, things are looking okay. It's already cleaned up. I'll tell you. Tonight we have maybe I think the cold got to my wording because I can't even speak. This morning I had to scrape off my Jeep windows. I felt like I was in Wyoming. It was pretty neat, though. And today we're looking right around 62. Tonight, 31. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because it got tangled up with all these things and going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me, it's a tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7. We're just talking, we're having a conversation today, talking about a lot of things, talking about the hospitals and odd jobs. And I want to share an odd job, something to do with getting fired in just one second. But we're talking about in an unexpected way, and not by design, not deliberately done, hospitals in their coldness and their stiff upper lipness and their lack of emotion perform sort of a... I think not a bad function for people when very serious things are happening and you have to be hospitalized. It takes your mind off the big thing that's really happening, the inevitability of what's going on, and it's all reduced to the minutiae of tests and scans and mindless chatter when they come in and do rounds and all that other stuff. And sometimes that's a really good palliative in life generally. This administration, however, has taken distraction to new levels so that they by misdirection they don't want us to see what's going on. But sometimes it can be useful, and certainly when people are terminal and in a hospital setting. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You might have some thoughts about that. Dick, in Citrus Heights, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dick.
Well, hi there. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with terminal breast cancer. And one thing she insisted upon was that she not spend 1 minute in the hospital. And so... I cared for her at home, and it was really because of that impersonal touch that happens in hospitals.
So, but what they're saying, what this doctor is saying in this piece is when people say they don't want to, spend the last of their days in hospitals in mm-hmm. that setting, they would rather be at home. But sometimes when they are at home, it is so intimate, it's so hard for everybody around them that they wind up preferring the hospital setting. That was not the case for you.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. I'm so happy that I didn't put her in a hospital. The doctors had said there was nothing they could do for her,
And how long was it from the onset of the diagnosis to, I assume she's no longer with us?
Yes, that's true. It was 1 year.
It was 1 year?
1 year.
So you got to take care of her,
witness
to her departure, which can be an extremely loving act.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And assessing it now, how did it change you?
Well, part of me died with her. It made me feel so much more empathy toward others who would possibly go through that. I have volunteered to be a hospice worker since then.
And if I were to ask you, and this was what, about 4 or 5 years ago?
5 years ago.
5 years ago. If I were to ask you the arc of your life in these 5 years, have some major positive things happened? Whether in your work or in your life, some major positive things?
No.
So, but it sounds
she
like
was my life. She was your life.
Well, it sounds like you took a very difficult experience, and you were as enriched by it as you can be when somebody you love leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
And when an experience like that is as complicated as it is.
That is true.
I thank you for calling,
that
Dick, and sharing
true.
And sharing
I
your
keep
story.
Keep on going.
You got to, you have no choice.
That's it. Got to take care of my kids.
That's it. And you dance. You have to dance with what you are dealt.
That is true.
And you have to make the best of it. And I think that's everybody's RX. I thank you.
And I try to honor her every day of my life.
What's your name?
Her name is Sue.
Sue. Well, you have just done so again. Thank you, Dick, for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Here's my theory, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong about this, or if this is just telling myself this. I have seen a million cases where bad things have happened to good people, and they've lost the person that they love the most. Parents have lost a child. Somebody who you were in love with, you know, you met the love of your life and that person left you. Just a million kinds of things like that. Or some, you know, worst, you know, physical illness, whatever. But it seems like when a terrible thing happens on the one hand, a really positive thing happens on the other hand. It's not the same thing. The universe doesn't seem to pay you back in the same currency. I'll give you an example. I know a family where they were just sort of muddling along and they lost their daughter. They have 4 children. She was the second oldest child. They never got over it. I mean, the whole family was sort of destroyed in a way. I won't say completely destroyed, but it had a profound effect on the family and not a particularly positive one. But the family, their businesses took off, and they wound up making a lot of money, this family. They didn't have the daughter. Maybe if you'd asked them, they would have said, we would prefer to have the daughter than to have become so suddenly successful. But it was like one thing was taken from them, but something else was given to them, not in the same currency. And I've seen a million stories like that. So I was curious to ask Dick whether in losing the love of his life, other things happen. Well, sometimes when you have to go through, Meryl Streep was, he was an actor, and I think he was in The Deer Hunter. He was in some early films, and they were living together. This was before she was married. And he came down with cancer, I think, some kind of a terminal illness, and she nursed him through it. Now, Meryl Streep is an incredible actor. I mean, there's just no question about it. But it was like the thing she did, she put everything in her life on hold. To, as I recall reading, and maybe I'm not quite right about it, but that's my memory. She put everything in her life on hold to nurse the man she was living, you know, to nurse him, well, to the end. I think he was terminal. There was nothing that could be done beyond a certain point. And then she resumed her work, her life, and so on. And when you do that, sometimes there's all you can do is just bear witness to what's going on. It's out of your hands. There's nothing you can do about it. And you do it with love. You don't, you know, it's very scary for people in tough situations. Everybody wants to be invisible and they don't know what to say. We don't know what to say when someone gets a bad diagnosis and you don't know what kind of a card to send them because you can't send them a card that says, gee, I hope you'll be better tomorrow because you're not going to be better tomorrow. You don't know what to do. So you just sort of breathe in, breathe out, and you bear witness to it. And people who stay with and do that, become immensely enriched, I think, at the same time that their heart's being ripped out of their chest cavity. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And maybe not right now, but down the line somewhere. I don't know, care how bad the thing is you're going through, whether it's a physical illness and an emotional one. But if you can hang on, this is my thought, and so far I don't think I've been proved wrong. But if you can hang on, by your fingernails if it takes, breathe in, breathe out, you know, just get through it. On the other side, if you manage to do it with some awareness and some consciousness, as bad as it was on one end, it will be as high and wonderful as it will be on the other end. And one day you'll wake up and you'll say, my God, things are going so beautifully. And then you'll remember how bad they were a while back, and you'll see that there was, in fact, a balance. You know, good luck is followed by bad luck, and bad luck is followed by good luck. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. As we continue, I have to share with you getting fired. Rumsfeld getting fired. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, the traffic is a little bit jam-packed over the northbound 99 just south of Florin Road. Eastbound I-80 just east of Riverside over in Auburn. Looks like we have a pedestrian stopping traffic, but really that's about it. Well, there's a two-car crash southbound Cap City Freeway to El Camino Avenue. There's a three-car crash there as well. Enid Live will continue, and I'm going to go take my vitamins so I can talk a little bit better at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In the world of...
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions of folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities,
facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's Parrot. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a lot of things, and I want to just add to this conversation. This is Nora Ephron. We've had her on here on Enid Live, and she said the following. I thought this was great. This was in the wake. We started out by talking about very odd jobs, and there's a new show on that's quite popular called Dirty Jobs, and some of these jobs, you never thought that they existed. I've told you about some, you know, I have a file of odd jobs that I collect, like underarm sniffer for the deodorant companies. But this guy who hosts this show, he's been an avian vomitologist. I mean, this is a hippo wrangler. I mean, gosh. And we talked about how hospitals, the routine of hospitals can be distracting, pleasantly so, or for many people are grateful for the distraction because what is being dealt with is so huge and the kind of thing that nobody really wants to face or deal with, and they make it so matter of fact, and they break it down into little tests and scans and the issue of distraction. But I want to move on and add to the conversation. This is Nora Ephron, so maybe this goes more with the odd jobs discussion. But in any event, Donald Rumsfeld, she writes, received a standing ovation at the American Spectator dinner last week, not because of his performance as defense secretary, but because the audience wanted to make Rummy feel better because they knew that President Bush had hurt his feelings. The day after the election, Bob Novak writes of Rumsfeld, he had seemed devastated, the familiar confident grin gone, and his voice breaking. According to administration officials, only 3 or 4 people knew that Rummy was going to be fired, and Rummy was not one of them. His fellow presidential appointees, including some who did not applaud Rumsfeld's performance in office, were taken aback by his treatment, it was written. Good gracious me, writes Nora Ephron, Donald Rumsfeld, who to the best of my knowledge has not lost a wink of sleep since he helped lead us into this sorry war, spent a whole day on the verge of tears because of the way he was fired? Because no one had the courtesy to tell him in advance? Because he believed it when Bush told the press that Rumsfeld would serve until the end of his presidency? I love this. People actually think there's a good way to be fired. They get fired, and no matter what they were doing before being fired, losing an unwinnable war, running things into the ground, failing to meet the metrics, or merely holding on to a job that was destined for downsizing, they complain afterwards about the way they were fired instead of about what really bothers them, which is that they were fired at all. After years of wielding power, personally firing people right and left, and in Rumsfeld's case, actually authorizing the illegal torture of prisoners, they try to worm their way to a scenario meant to entitle them to a wave of sympathy that will obliterate whatever reasons they were fired for in the first place. My favorite of these firing victim scenarios is the one called, "They Fired Me on My Birthday." You can't imagine how many people walk around complaining that they were fired on their birthdays. They fired me while I was in the hospital. They fired me a week after my mother's funeral. They fired me right before Christmas. Almost any firing can be made into a firing victim scenario, especially if you throw in national holidays. I really bumped into a very powerful woman who complained bitterly that she had just been fired while her partner was in labor. I mean, I'm sorry the woman was fired, but how was anyone to know that her partner was in labor? Was this common knowledge? Had the labor been going on for days? And how long would the person who fired this woman have had to wait? Until the epidural wore off? until the baby was home from the hospital? Here's my point, writes Nora Ephron. There is no good way to be fired, and there's no good day to be fired. But here are all these Republicans at the American Spectator dinner making the mistake of believing that at the very least, being a key phrase in such episodes, Rumsfeld was entitled to be treated better because of his loyalty to the president. By the way, Bob Novak writes that Rumsfeld isn't the only member of the Bush administration who has lost his happy. Vice President Cheney is, quote, profoundly disturbed. Well, yeah, there are many of us who believe he's always been profoundly disturbed. Profoundly disturbed at the way Rumsfeld was treated and recently, quote, appeared melancholy. We will leave aside the question of how anyone can evaluate the levels of Dick Cheney's melancholy and instead wonder whether Cheney is feeling bad because he sees the handwriting on the wall. Who knows? Maybe the rumor is true, and he's next. Well, I don't think, what do you think about, first of all, I don't think the vice president can be fired. I think he, because it's an elected office, right? So I don't think he can be fired. He's got to leave. And the question is he going to leave? But that's a side question. The real issue is getting fired. There is no good way to get fired. There's no good day that it can happen on. Nora Ephron talks about how they were, you know, Rumsfeld's friends and supporters are trying to cheer him up and make him feel better. Imagine that. They fired him the day after the election. Well, it doesn't, she says, the point she's making is these firing victim scenarios. You know, they fired me on my birthday. They fired me while I was in the hospital. They fired me a week after my mother's funeral. They fired me right before Christmas. They fired me right after I came during my vacation. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. So if you're lucky enough to have one of these dirty jobs, you know, the avian vomitologist, and you get fired because, you know, the day you were in the hospital, the day you came back from your vacation or didn't come back from your vacation, you want to share that story with us? We would love to hear a good firing story. We could add you to the list of... these are good firing victim scenarios of when they fired you and what happened. And it sort of goes into a story that I've shared some of the details with you previously. But I want to share it again because this is the season for it. There is a Secret Santa, and he was fired twice on Christmas Day or right around the holidays. And he started out, he didn't have much money, and he went to a church where he was hoping for some assistance, and the secretary was quite brusque with him, sort of like how they are in hospitals, was quite brusque with him and said, the person who's in charge of helping out or whatever, the fancier name for it, is not here today. And she sent him off, and he never came back. He was so embarrassed. Came for a handout. She was brusque and turned him away, told him to come back another day when the person who was in charge of such matters could help him. And then, fast forward to a Christmas where he had just been fired, and then a second Christmas. So he'd been fired two Christmases around that time. And the second firing, he is, at a drive-in restaurant, and the car hop waits on him, and it's really cold, and she's got this skinny nothing jacket, and she's freezing. And whatever he bought, because this was like 20 or 30 years ago, couldn't have been more than a few bucks. And he gives her a 20, and he tells her to keep the change. And she starts crying. She said, sir, you don't know how much this means to me. And what he did that afternoon, even though he had just been fired himself, was he went to the bank, and he withdrew, I don't know, several hundred dollars worth of 20s. And he went around giving them to people who had what he called that look in their eye, people who looked like they could use a 20. And ever since then, he's been doing the same thing, and he's upped it, and he's become very successful. You know, there is the idea in a lot of churches about tithing, and that not only you tithe to the church, but also you become successful in relationship to what you tithe. But in any event, he has given away something like $1.3 million worth. He now is suffering from what sounds like very serious and possibly terminal cancer, and he's 58. So his good works didn't exactly stave off the Grim Reaper. Maybe it did. Maybe he might have gotten that cancer at 28 or 38 instead of 58. And he is trying for a long time. His identity was secret. He would let reporters come with him, but they had to sign an agreement not to reveal who he was. And now he goes around and he gives out money and he's too sick to do it, I think, this year. Plus, his treatment is not covered. A lot of it is not covered by his insurance, and I think just, you know, being on the kind of chemo and meds that he's on costs more than $16,000 a month, so it's pretty pricey treatment. And maybe he needs to rein in his spending and his philanthropy, I don't know. But the Secret Santa story of somebody who, even though he was fired and feeling really low, there was somebody who was in worse shape than he. And I have a good friend who always used to say, and it's an idea that's sort of been lost now, that if you really want to feel good, everybody's always moaning about how bad they feel and, you know, life, you know, they're a firing scenario, a victim, firing victim scenario, centerist. Help somebody who could use the help. Help somebody who's in worse shape than you are. And it will instantly make you feel better. So in some ways, it's a highly selfish act. And what he did, he was fired on Christmas Day a couple of years in a row, and he went out and he helped other people. And it made a huge difference in his life. It enriched him in ways that probably you can't even measure. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I say that because we're in the season to give, and Californians are among the chintziest givers. Californians rank really low on their philanthropy in general. And this is rich Californians. This is not a good sign. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You've got a good firing story that you want to share with us, and particularly a good one where you got fired at a bad time, but then it all worked out. That's a really, I like those. Some, you know, it's not great when you get fired and it's only a downward spiral, but I'd like to hear about those as well. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
And weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, you know what? Let's see, I got a good firing story. If I, you know, mess up the traffic right now and say a really bad word, and then I'll be able to talk about it afterwards. No, the traffic is doing really good. Eastbound 80 and Shortbridge, though, we do have a three-car crash over there. Southbound Cap City Freeway at El Camino Avenue, a two-car crash is slowing things down just a little bit. And our weather? Well, you know, it's been icy last night, pretty icy this morning. We had to crank the heater up a little bit. High's going to be 62 tomorrow. Lows tonight right around 27. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the lucky Tuesday, sunny day edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a lot of things, and I want to share a couple of, do you remember the apartment building, the condo in Manhattan, and that baseball player piloted his plane into that building, right into one person's apartment, and the woman whose apartment it was willed herself to get out of the apartment by repeating a line from the poem The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. And here's the line, and this is what kept her going, and it kept her alive. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So we started out talking about what happens in hospitals when our one wild and precious life is sort of winding up and we don't want to think about the huge consequences of it, or the one wild and precious life of a dearly beloved, a loved one, a family member, somebody, an enemy even, and how the hospital routinizes everything. And in a way, it's a blessing because you don't have to think about the big things that you will have to think about. You know, you can postpone it, but eventually you're going to have to think about it. And if you don't want to think about it, eventually it's going to seize you in the form of grief, so you better think about it. And somebody who is among the dearly departed that we are appreciating, it always happens this way, we're appreciating more now that he's checked out than when he was among us. But I always loved him, was Robert Altman and his films, and what a maverick he was. And somebody made a remark about his work and Hollywood. As I was reading it, I thought this is true of a lot of businesses. Actually, it's Altman himself making this. This is a quote from Altman. He said, "The people who get into this business, meaning the movie business, are fast buck operators, carnival people, always have been," Robert Altman said in an interview. He said, "They don't try to make good movies now. They're trying to make successful movies." Now think about that. This is true of a lot of businesses. They're not trying to make good movies now, good movies. A good product. They're trying to make successful movies. The marketing people run it now. You don't really see too many smart people running the studios, running the video companies. They're all making big money, but they're not looking for, they don't have a vested interest in the shelf life of a movie. There is no overview. No one says, 40 years from now, who's going to want to see this? No visionaries. Well, let me ask you, it's not just this isn't just about the movie business. You know, when you have, I ran away to live with the Hopi Indians, some years ago, and they make decisions. Native Americans, at least the Hopi, make decisions 7 years, what is going to be good 7 years down the line or a generation down the line? Well, we are run by Wall Street, and so everything is immediate. What's going to be good for this quarter? So it doesn't matter if you pull the heart and guts out of a business, as long as it looks good for this quarter, and then you hope for the best for next quarter, and so on and so on and so on.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
On the eve of a big meeting on Iraq,
I'm not going to pull our troops off the battlefield before the mission is complete.
The economy not too hot or cold. House prices are cold. I'm Dan Ravitch.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. At the upcoming talks in Amman, Jordan, a senior administration official says it may be Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki who pushes for U.S. troop withdrawals, but President Bush will certainly be receptive.
I'm Mark Noller in Riga, Latvia. In his talks tomorrow and Thursday with Iraq's Prime Minister, President Bush says he'll discuss transferring more responsibility for the security of the nation to Iraqi forces. But at the same time, he says there is one thing he won't do, and that's pull U.S. troops off the battlefield before the mission is complete. He rejects talk of a civil war in Iraq, but wants to hear the Prime Minister's strategy for quelling the surge in violence there.
The Iraq Study Group, which met again today, is expected to recommend that Syria and Iran be brought into the effort to pacify Iraq. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports on the scope of the problem.
The Shiite militia behind much of the violence has vastly increased in size in the past year, and is now estimated by U.S. intelligence at 40 to 60,000. Between 1 and 2,000 of them have traveled through Syria to Lebanon for training by the Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah, and thousands more have received training at camps inside Iran. But U.S. intelligence officials say even a complete cutoff of Iranian assistance would not end the violence, which has become a self-sustaining cycle of revenge.
President Bush asserted today that much of the sectarian violence is being fomented by al-Qaeda. Now this.
'Twas the days around Christmas when all through the land motorists were rejoicing. Happy Honda Days was at hand. The vehicles were displayed in the showroom with care. The Civic, the Accord, the Element, even the all-new CR-V was there. Away to the Accord, I flew like a flash. Spotting the price tag, I knew they would slash. My dealer exclaimed as I drove out of sight, "Happy Honda Days to all, and to all a good night."
Celebrate the great deals at your Honda dealer today.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the Balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
New figures show home sales picked up a bit last month because prices continued to come down. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has more.
A Standard & Poor's housing index finds prices fell for a third month, and the National Association of Realtors puts the average price drop at 3.5% in 1 year. The chairman of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, in a wide-ranging review of an economy that in general is not too cold, not too hot, did caution.
The correction in the housing market could turn out to be more severe.
But he gave no hint that he might cut interest rates to stimulate the economy. He did say more rate hikes may be needed to fight inflation. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan says he thinks the worst of the housing slump is over. There's compelling new evidence that a perfect year-round tan can have devastating consequences.
Tanning beds unequivocally increase your skin cancer risk if you begin using them in your teens or 20s. That's stark warning from the International Agency for Research on Cancer. It says melanoma risk rises as much as 75%.
And that's a very big rise. We don't see that rise in the risk among the people who did not start tanning beds in their teens.
Dr. Patricia Wexler of the Skin Cancer Foundation. The study finds tanning beds have no positive health effects and may hurt the skin's immune response. It recommends expanding restrictions for teens. Every year, some 30 million Americans tan indoors. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The case brought national attention to Florida's boot camps for juvenile offenders. In January, 14-year-old Martin Lee Anderson died after scuffling with guards who repeatedly struck him with their hands and knees. The incident was videotaped. Now, seven former guards and a nurse who stood by and watched are charged with aggravated manslaughter. Gina Jones is Anderson's mother.
Today is a good day for me. I'm finally getting justice for my baby.
The family has a pending wrongful death lawsuit that seeks more than $40 million in damages. 11 Los Angeles police officers have been cleared of wrongdoing in the accidental killing of a 19-month-old child. The little girl was being used by her father as a human shield during a long standoff with police. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
New Michelin. For what is usually a pretty big, rich, sometimes fairly eccentric conversation, but we love it, and vibrant, too, and sometimes feisty. You just never know what you're going to get. It is always toll-free, and if you've never called before, let me encourage you to do it. If you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. We stream live at 1320 Left Channel, one word, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We've been talking about a lot of different things. We've been ambling around all over the place, talking about odd jobs and talking about is there any good way ever to be fired? Nora Ephron does this thing about how Rumsfeld's friends were trying to buck him up, and they had giant crocodile tears for him, the man who has no conscience whatsoever, leading people into a war that never had to be, and losing their lives. And so now we're supposed to feel sorry for him because he got fired sort of precipitously. Is there ever any good way to be fired? You have good firing stories. We'd like to hear about them. But they usually happen. People always say, oh, they fired me on my birthday. They fired me when I was in the hospital. They fired me when my wife was sick. They fired me when my husband was, when my kid was, you know, and fill in the blank. So as Nora Ephron points out, there's never a good time to be fired. We're also talking about the Secret Santa, who has been for a long time now, nobody knew his identity. Reporters who covered him were sworn to secrecy. And he just gives away money, and so far has given away about $1.3 million, and he does it not bureaucratically. He does it by going to the bank, withdrawing X amount of money, and just handing it out to people around Christmas time. He's now suffering from, sounds like a quite serious form of cancer, so we certainly wish him well. But there's a new study out that tells us that California is number one among the wealthy. We have more rich people living in California than any other state. I think New York is number two in that department. But we are only 21 in charitable giving. California is packed with rich people, but when it comes to charitable giving, they are cheapskates, according to a study by a nonprofit. The state has 407,000 households making $200,000 or more in adjusted gross income. This means that the nation's most populous state also accounts for the largest number of wealthy households. In New York, it is number two, and then Florida, I think, comes next. California holds $1.04 trillion in investment assets such as stocks, bonds, not counting the value of their homes, retirement pensions, and investment real estate. But despite ranking first in rich people, California ranks 21st among states for actual gifts per wealthy filer as a percentage of assets. Affluent Californians donated an average of $19,000 per household. That is 0.74% of their investment assets and 3.24% of their adjusted gross income, using the percentage of assets as a measure corrects for cost of living differences. In Utah, for example, where they tithe, I think because a lot of people are members of the Church of Latter-day Saints or Mormons. In Utah, the most generous state, gifts per wealthy filer averaged $38,000, which came to 1.63% of assets and 7.4% of adjusted income. Now that's, so $38,000 in Utah, the most generous state, per wealthy filer, per rich filer, versus $19,000. So they are twice as much. Their wealthy filers are giving twice as much as Californians. So California has more rich people than any other state in the union, and we're only 21st in terms of giving. So we're kind of cheapskates. You want to comment about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. This is a time of year when we're contemplating these issues. It's a time of year when we're thinking about generosity. When we're thinking about giving, how we can share what we have. There are a lot of people who don't have jobs, who are outsourced, can't even get jobs as avian vomitologists. And so there you are. They're going to outsource that, too, if they can. 349-1320. Yesterday we talked a lot about education. And let me give you some additional information about education. Schwartzy and the state legislature are going to have to look at the educational crisis in this state. And this is the San Francisco Chronicle saying, yes, there is a crisis. Here's what we talked about yesterday. We talked about the fact that new research tells us that if you come from a welfare household, a low-income household, a struggling and needy household, by the time the kid is 3 years old, that kid is already at a huge disadvantage, let alone by the time that kid is four or five and goes to school. And the reason that kid is at a huge disadvantage is they measured the utterances from the parents to the child. So the more you talk to your kid, the better it is for the child's development. The more you read to the child, the more you have conversations. And the more you encourage your children. So kids from middle-class families are more encouraged. The parents talk to them more and so on. Kids from struggling homes, from poverty-stricken homes, from welfare homes, the parents don't talk to them as much. Maybe they're not around as much. So there are not as many parental interactions. There's less encouragement. There's more discouragement than encouragement. And so the kids, your IQ, your intelligence develops accordingly. And by the time they're 3 years old, these kids who are disadvantaged are even more disadvantaged. So far behind the curve that a lot of people wonder if they can catch up without huge, huge, very intensive remedial work. And then you slap on them what California is required to make the hollow appearance that it's fixing its educational system by requiring an exit exam from high school. For kids who are middle class, who've had the advantages, they'll breeze through that exit exam. But for kids who already come in disadvantaged by the time they're 3 years old, to pile an exit exam on them, and usually these kids are in schools where there aren't a lot of resources because the resources that are supposed to help them pass the exit exam are not evenly distributed. If you go to a fancy high school, you're likely to have those resources that the state's supposed to provide. But if you go to an inner city school, you're probably not going to have those resources. And that's why there was a lawsuit saying, you know what, there wasn't an equal distribution. There wasn't an equal opportunity here for kids. But so what you're doing is you're burdening, further burdening, the kid who's already disadvantaged to begin with. Got that part? All right. So let me add to it. This is the San Francisco Chronicle. There is an educational crisis. Test scores have gone up in recent years, but the distressing achievement gap that separates Latino and African-American students from white and Asian students remains unchanged despite years of school reform and billions of dollars spent. Nearly one-third of California's teenagers don't even graduate. A third of our teenagers do not graduate from high school. Obviously, California does not have the choice to cut and run when it comes to our schools, but simply staying the course is also not a winning strategy. A report issued this month by the Policy Analysis for California Education, or PACE, showed that schools that participated in the immediate intervention underperforming school program showed, listen to this, no advantage over similar schools that did not participate. Some schools even lost ground while in the program. The researchers also showed that conflicts between the state's accountability system and the one imposed by the federal No Child Left Behind law threatens the best efforts of educators. Differences between the two systems, they note, have made the targets for student achievement growth less clear and have somewhat diffused educators' attention as they attend to multiple targets. They point out that numbers of underperforming schools, as defined by federal law, will continue to rise. So we're having more underperforming schools as the proportion of students expected to perform at ever higher levels is ratcheted up. So we have an expectation of these kids to perform at higher levels, but we don't do a whole lot to make that happen. These findings are in line with several other reports, including a devastating document produced by the RAND Corporation a couple of years ago, which showed that California schools lag behind other states on almost every objective measurement. One especially notable statistic is that fully 80% of students in schools labeled as underperforming by the state live in poverty. So exactly what we were talking about yesterday. And here they're making that same association. 80% of students in schools labeled underperforming by the state live in poverty. It should be clear by now that while schools can do a lot, they cannot do it all. Any education strategy has to focus not only at what goes on in the schools, but on the conditions in which children who attend them are raised. This fall, Schwartzy declared a state of emergency in our prisons. He should consider doing the same on behalf of our schools. At the very least, he should convene a summit of all the key education stakeholders in the state. California needs to pursue new strategies that do not undercut reforms being implemented, but which significantly enhance them. Well, good luck. They will have a summit, and they'll all sound very, you know, and they'll bustle around. It's like going to the hospital when you're, you know, when you're in the checkout line, when you're practically approaching the off-ramp. The final off-ramp, and they bustle around and they do scans, you know, and they check your numbers for this and that, and they check your vital signs, and you know what? You're headed toward the off-ramp. That's the end of that. It makes it all very routine. It looks like everybody's helping. It takes your mind off the inevitable. But that's what's going on, and I think that's the same strategy here in what the Chronicle's is suggesting for solving an education system in crisis. We are in meltdown. We are in a state of emergency in California in terms our educational system. You know, only Missouri or Mississippi is worse than we're just one notch above Mississippi, if you can believe that. One notch. We're way at the bottom. We're way at the bottom. This is not good. I mean, we're lucky because this is a state that's been so rich in resources, in agriculture, in high tech, in entertainment industry, in filmmaking, and lots of other things that maybe we haven't had to focus on education the way some states have to when they are not so rich in resources, and they've really got to make every single resource count. So we've been able to slide because we had a big cushion. I don't think we can slide anymore, and I don't think we're doing our citizens a lot of good. And you know what we're doing? I think we're hollowing out California. So if we're populated by a bunch of dopes, I mean, these are the dopes that you rely on to do things, like not run into you when you're driving around. who, if they are driving you on some public transit, you know, will be doing a good job. Who, if they are helping you out in a hospital setting, will be able to do a good job. Who are, if they're just a citizen, will do their share and haul their weight as being a citizen. And the Chronicle is also talking about Schwartzy's ambitious goals when it comes to health care. They don't know how he's going to pull off what he's saying. And there's a lot of skepticism as to whether he's going to be able to do it. About skepticism, mysticism, You know, nobody believes it. They think he's just being a politician. Whether Schwartz is going to be able to come up with a workable plan in time for his State of the State address, and this is to provide health care for all the uninsured in California. Health care reform is not for the faint-hearted. The Chronicle goes on to say in California the complexities are even more challenging than in many states. So California is different from, say, Massachusetts, where they're going to provide universal health care, and indeed from the rest of the U.S., according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. Only 48% of Californians receive health coverage through their employer. Now, this is very interesting to me, because only 48% of Californians receive health coverage through their employers, compared with 53% nationwide and 69% in Massachusetts. According to the polling, only 4% of us cared about universal health insurance in the last election. So I don't know why that would be if only 48% of us have health coverage through our employers. In California, an astonishing 23% of the state's population are uninsured. 23% of us are uninsured. In Massachusetts, only 12%. Only 677,000 people lack coverage. In California, it's almost 7 million people. 7 million of us lack any health coverage. And I don't know whether illegals are factored into that figure. Schwartz's also gotten entangled in some enormous complexities. On Meet the Depressed on Sunday, he impressed some observers by declaring, "We've got to insure everybody," that was on Sunday. But on Monday, when asked if he really meant insuring everybody, his staff said that was his goal. Well, my goal is to live to be 1,000. You think I'm going to manage? You tell me. Am I going to? That's my goal. So it's a different thing to say we want to insure everybody. That's our goal. To really, are you going to insure everybody? His goal is to be president. His goal is to be senator. He's going to try and knock off Barbara Boxer, everybody thinks, in the next election. His goal is to expand coverage to as many Californians as possible, said Schwartz's communications director. As many as possible is not exactly everybody. But then some of the most vigorous health care advocates welcome Schwartz's willingness to move health care to the top of his political agenda. So he moved it to the top of his political agenda. And good luck. Maybe that's where it's going to reside. It'll start getting some dust. You're going to have to get an avian vomitologist to clean it up. I mean, I don't know. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jen in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Enid. Just a comment. Of course, you're right when it comes to the education and how poor it is in California. But, you know, we have a wealth of volunteer people, groups of individuals that could go into the homes, because most of the time in these impoverished neighborhoods, the parents are also without education, and these volunteers could go in and help these children and their parents to get on the right track. And I don't understand why, because it would cost nothing for volunteers to do that. So I don't understand why they haven't entertained the thought of having volunteers to come in. Yes, they have the mentoring program, but it's a little bit different.
All right, now, have you been doing any of this? Are you involved in any of these volunteer activities, Jen?
Actually, yes, I do. I volunteer on a number of levels. I volunteer with animal rescue groups. I also volunteer with Loaves and Fishes and Mustard Seed. There's a number of organizations that I volunteer with. And, I mean, the kids have a desire to learn, but so do the parents. And if you get both of them involved, then that's the interaction, and that's the bonding that they need, and then they can move forward together.
Well, that would be really nice. I think you ought to think about if no such group exists where you can start out on a small scale in one school, in one district, just one school, maybe one classroom, and get some volunteers together and fan out and start working with the parents so that the parents and the kids and the school and the volunteers can all somehow work together to the benefit of everybody involved.
Right.
That would be a really good program. I think the more attention you put on any kind of a problem, human attention, it always makes it, it always elucidates more, it always makes everything better. So why don't you see if you can get something going?
Okay, I will.
All right, and report back to us. I think that's a splendid idea.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jen. I think that's a great idea. What do you think about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. There was a story I saw in today's Wall Street Journal, kind of along, well, not quite along these lines, but a little bit along these lines, that I want to share with you. And this is tackling hunger. A lot of food banks, what some food banks are doing, and I don't know if we're doing it here in Sacramento, but here we are. We're practically next door to Ground Zero for Foodies, which is, of course, San Francisco or the Bay Area. But here, to tackle hunger, what a lot of food banks are doing, and if you want to donate this holiday season, that's a good place to donate to the food bank, because donations are down. They could really use your help. A lot more people are hungry, and they could use the resources of the food bank. But anyway, what they're doing is to train people in food service occupations and train them specifically not to be sudsbusters, but to train them to be chefs. It's a free program, and the one that they're profiling in today's Wall Street Journal happens to be in Chicago. And so to tackle hunger, this food bank takes you on, trains you to be a chef. And they're about, 16, 17, 18 in this class. You have to pass certain, they interview you, they winnow it down. You have to have some skills. You have to be able to do math and do metric conversions and, not a lot of stuff that's, But you have to, and there's one woman that they sort of profile here who has quit her whole life. She says, "I always quit. I never finish anything." It's what she does. She says, "I quit high school 2 decades ago." She said she quit one low-paying job after another, never staying long enough to make much more than minimum wage. Now, not even halfway through a free 12-week course training her to be a chef, she is throwing in the kitchen towel. She says, "I always quit." She told her classmates, "I never finish anything." And it takes you through the process of what it's, and you know what? She hung in there, she graduated, and she got a good job. Perseverance. It pays. 349-1320, Doug in Stockton. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Doug.
Hi, I have a comment. I taught for nearly 30 years, and why the schools are not performing is immensely complicated, but I can tell you a couple of things that I learned over my tenure as a teacher. One is that children don't read. They watch television. And I'm talking about from the highest class down to the lowest economic class. Parents are extremely busy, and they're pretty much the same. They're pretty much non-readers. So it's a visual generation, and you can't compete as a teacher. I don't care how qualified and creative you are in a classroom with students who spend at least 3 to 5 hours a day watching television.
What does that do to a kid as opposed to spending that time reading? How does that change a child?
Well, it affects their writing. It affects the way that they speak. It affects their perceptions of the world.
How so? I mean, in some ways it might be a plus, but how is it a minus?
Well, the more you know, the more words and vocabulary you have, the more complicated you're able to apply your thinking process. That's one. And that helps you learn, and you build on that hopefully over time. If you don't read and increase your knowledge base through vocabulary, and then sit down and practice expressing that vocabulary in a written form, you're not going to be very good at it. And I saw that from elementary all the way through high school.
So kids are writing, they're writing more in the sense that they're texting each other, they're emailing and so on, but you're saying that the quality of the writing has declined over the years that you were teaching? You noticed that?
Well, if a computer is used well, it's a real tool for helping children because it eliminates a lot of the kinds of things in writing that come later in the process. If a kid can type, they can sit down and get their ideas down very quickly. And then they can go back and work on the real writing process, which is to put your thoughts together properly. In that sense, a computer is a real aid, especially with kids who have some learning problems. But if anyone asked me, the main problem that I saw when I was in the classroom, and again, that's from elementary through high school, it was simply that children spent too much damn time in front of the television. They just do.
Well, it's the universal babysitter. Parents park their kids in front of TV sets, and then they go about their lives, and I agree with you. And the one story that I will share with you is I once talked to somebody who had a small moving company who said they now routinely move people from place to place who don't have one book in the house but who have these huge, enormous plasma TV sets. So I think that's probably a metaphor for what you're talking about. Doug, I thank you very much for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, the traffic's looking okay going southbound 99. However, northbound Cap City Freeway, pretty much Fulton, Florin, it looks like just past Arden Way and Marconi. We have crashes all along there and Watt Avenue as well. Tonight we're going to see lows 27, highs coming up tomorrow about 62. And Eden Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Eden Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
When my son started having...
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
Edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Well, we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about how bad the educational system is in California, that it's as bad as the prison system, and I don't, you know, a summit I don't think is going to really solve the problem. Schwartz is promising health care for everybody, but he said that's his goal, which is different from I'm going to deliver this to you. So weaseling around, everything will sound good for the State of the State address, and then we'll see what happens afterward. But the whole educational issue is a really tough issue, and here California ranks so low in terms, you know, and here we are, such a rich state. We're a rich state, and we're the richest state. We have the most wealthy households of any state in the union, but we're low on how much we give to charity. You know, here we are, such a rich state with so many resources, and we're like one notch above Mississippi in educational accomplishment. The education system is in meltdown. Maybe just because the living has been too easy. And who wants to bother? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Arlene in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I love you, by the way.
Thank you.
I listened to you during election night, and it was just awesome. I loved your coverage.
Thank you so much.
I was wanting to tell you about my two children. I have two daughters, 3 and 4. They've been off TV for 3 months now, and they're totally different kids. I cannot tell you how important studying television is.
What, in what way are they different children?
Well, what happened was I got an article from Sophia's preschool about television viewing, how dangerous it is for children's minds, and it really hit home, so I decided, you know what, we'll try it for a week, and see what happens. But what really got me to do it was my girls were so irritable. They didn't want to go outside and play. They were kind of, they weren't very obedient. They didn't listen to me. They didn't eat well. They didn't sleep well. They were just little monsters. And so I read this article and I thought, you know what? I'll try anything. So we cut TV viewing completely out of our home. And it was unbelievable. Within 3 days, they were brand new kids.
Did they complain? Did they complain about no TV or were they?
They complained for the first couple of days, and I said, oh, you know, the first day I was kind of wimpy. I said, oh, the TV's broke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all the TVs in our house broke, and they believed me. Okay, the second day I decided, okay, I'm going to be honest. And I said, you know what, TV's really bad for you, so we're not going to do that anymore. And they said, okay.
Oh, just like that.
What happened was they were sleeping better, they were eating better, they listened to me better. They were just totally different kids. And instead of sitting in front of the TV, they're in the backyard playing with rocks and talking to the bushes and the birds, whatever. They're just imaginative children. They're so, their creative play increased. They entertain themselves. And I can sit in the kitchen and make dinner, and they don't even come up to me once. They're just, they're coloring, they're drawing, they're playing dolls, whatever. But it was like brand new kids. So what we do, because I don't believe in extremes either, Friday night is family night, and we either go to a movie together or we rent a couple movies. So they know that Friday night is when they get their, you know, their movie fix, and they're totally content with that. And they're just totally different kids.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, what happens over dinner? When everybody sits down, do you have a conversation? I know 3 and 4 is a little bit young, but it's never too soon.
Yeah, well, we talk, and we never had TV during meals anyway, but it's just so funny that you were talking about the movers, how they have all these TVs that they move in.
No books.
We have one plasma screen, one high-def television, and 2 regular televisions in our house, and they have been off for 3 months. My husband and I don't even view television, and let me tell you, when we stopped watching TV at night, it helped our romance life tremendously.
Well, good. Oh, well, we're thrilled to hear that.
TV is just terrible. I would recommend it to everyone.
Here's the thing about TV, and here's first of all, for kids as young as your children, TV, if you'll notice, to keep people interested, the cuts are, they're always jumping around. So it's very fast. It's very, you know, it's nothing is focused on for very long. And for little developing kids, I think you can get too jumpy watching television. That's number one. Number two, we are all drinking out of that same stale trough of ideas, which are not meant to be good most of the time, but meant to be successful. What Altman said about making movies, and what could be said about many businesses in this country right now. People don't care about making it good a lot of the time. What they care about is making a successful product. And when you can play on your own, I grew up on a farm, and we were far away from any other kids, and you are forced to rely on your own imagination. And that can only be a good thing. That can only increase your creativity. And instead of drinking out of that same stale trough of ideas, everybody's watching the same show that some other creative person wrote and scripted, and you think you're participating in, but you're really not, you can develop your own ideas and your own thinking and know at least where you stand without the clutter of all these other voices getting in the way of what your own thoughts are.
Yeah.
So I think in every way, congratulations, Arlene. I think this is a big plus because a lot of, you know what? I think what TV is to a lot of families what hospitals are when you're terminal. It's a way to distract you from what's really going on in your life. So you come home, you veg out in front of something that's often not even very good. And it distracts you from the business of your one precious wild life and how you're going to spend it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I grew up in front of the TV. I was one of those kids whose parents didn't get home till 5:30, and we would watch TV from the time we came home from school till they came home. And I just decided, just because that's the way I was raised, that doesn't mean that that's the way I'm going to do it. We can be better, and we can ask for better for our kids than we had.
I agree with you, and I thank you for calling and sharing that story. It's a good one. 349-1320, 866-626-2613-20. Mike and Davis, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Enid. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I got a couple things on education. My wife is a teacher in South Sac, and there are quite a few ethnic groups that don't speak English well that are supposed to be taking, you know, doing No Child Left Behind.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do well because they're given 2 years to become proficient in the English language, and then they're thrown at this test, and they can't do the test.
The kids are given 2 years to become proficient?
That's my understanding. That's what she tells me.
Well, could you become proficient in another language in 2 years?
Uh-huh.
You could?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Heck no.
Well, okay.
I'm trying to learn Spanish for my job. The other thing, my dad taught in Davis.
Uh-huh.
And for years, and he taught history off and on. And one year, he decided to do an experiment. And prior to giving a test, he went through and gave all the answers verbatim to the test, and told the class, "These are the answers for the test." A third of the class failed the test.
that's a very disheartening story, Mike.
Well, but you know,
we have only gotten dumber since then.
It's, you know, the thing is, though, it's hard to educate somebody that doesn't care. You know, if the kids, you know, don't care or have an entitlement and intelligence.
There is a program, and this is, they deliberately targeting kids who are at a disadvantaged kids, and it was to bring them up to speed and to help them and to actually boost them into a more gifted status. And the kids initially didn't want to do it. Even the average middle class kids didn't want to do it because they thought it was going to be too much work. They thought that would be in over their heads. And what they did in order to entice the kids into this, and it's now become a successful program in this particular district, is that they got first of all, they made a lot of resources available. They told kids, we're going to show you how to do this, so don't feel like you're going to be in over your head. We will show you how to make this happen. That's number one. And number two, they got all their friends in there. So the kids did not want to be in anything that looked gifted and more possible, A, because it looked like too much work, and B, because they felt they'd be isolated from their friends.
Oh, yeah.
So when you get your friend, when they get the friends in there and everybody participates, they wound up having a bigger chance of success. So I thank you, Mike, for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Lucky, lucky. And you know what? We need to start making our list for, you know, Christmas. Do we give you our Christmas list? Okay, yeah, she says yes. I see her over there. Give me your Christmas wish, Lisa West. Here's my biggest wish for today, though, and on through the holiday season. Very jam-packed on the traffic on eastbound 50. You know, we had a gravel truck turn over there, westbound 50 yesterday. They've gotten it cleaned up, but it looks like we might have another problem over there by Howe. Southbound 99, just north of westbound Florin, a two-car crash in 99 in Alberta. We have a three-car crash over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world.
This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit CashCreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you just can't hide. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
.443 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. CBS is reporting that sources close to the Iraq study group tell CBS News correspondent David Martin in its final report will not call for the withdrawal of American troops, which would almost certainly be rejected by the Bush administration. Instead, says correspondent David Martin, the sources expect it to recommend, this is the Iraq study group, to recommend a timetable for the Iraqi government to assume greater responsibility for its own security. Well, still unresolved is the question of what, if any, consequences there would be if the Iraqi government failed to meet the timetable. Well, we do go to war. Is that what's going to happen? And let me just, in line with that, that's a CBS breaking news story. You'll hear more about that, I'm sure, at the top of the hour. President Bush and U.S. Senator-elect Jim Webb, who supplanted Senator Makaka, George Allen, he won that election. They got into a testy exchange over the status of Webb's soldier son, who is serving in Iraq. There was a White House private dinner just after the election featuring newly elected lawmakers like Jim Webb. And Bush came around and met everybody, and he asked Jim Webb how his son, a Marine Lance Corporal serving in Iraq, was doing. Webb replied to the president that, quote, he really wanted to see his son brought back home, end quote, according to a person who was present at the dinner. The president said, I didn't ask you that. I asked how he's doing. Bush replied. Webb confessed that he was so angered by this that he was tempted to slug the commander-in-chief, but of course he didn't. It's safe to say, however, that Bush and Webb won't be taking any overseas trips together anytime soon. Oh, Dickie, what a jerk. What a complete jerk. 349-1320, we're talking about all kinds of things. We're talking about education. Let's go to the phones. Jim in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Enid. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I mentioned it to Lisa, but I want to mention it to you. I think Lisa West is a real asset to your show. I love her sense of humor. I love her bits of humor that she throws in, and keep her around. I like her a lot.
Okay, thank you. Are you on the Lisa West payroll?
Well, I wish I was.
Okay.
I have a theory, and basically it's ADD. When you talk about education and young people, I don't think it's just them. I think it's adults too. But we're bombarded. Blackberries, cell phones, instant messaging, text messaging, telephones, TV. It's constant. It's overwhelming. When I was a kid and I used to come home from school, I'd sit down and build a model for like 2 hours, work on it every day. I could focus on it. There was no distractions. The public and young people today are so distracted with so much stuff. That last woman that was on about quiet time, going to a movie, that's the only way. because we're so distracted as a human race right now. I don't see anything about it.
Well, there was a piece recently about the lack of silence. Where do you go to find silence? Where do you go to to get away from all the chatter? It's hard to, I mean, you can do it, certainly. You can go home and you shut everything off and you just read something, you're quiet, you meditate, you know, whatever. But a lot of people don't, and we are constantly bombarded. And the ADD you're talking about, I think you're quite right, Jim. It's, I think it's an adult, we don't pay enough attention to our children. And then they're running around in a crazy way because they've been exposed to way too much.
I couldn't agree more. Like a typical example, right now as we speak, I'm walking around my 5 acres out in the middle of nowhere, out in the country. That's my quiet time. I just bought Barack Obama's book. I'm going to sit down and start reading that tonight. There's a lot of things that people get distracted with in this world, and we need to slow down. Slow down. But I don't know whether it's possible. I don't know whether it's possible. I'm going to get off the line. However, there's one more comment I want to make,
yeah.
And that's that report you just said about the new report that's coming about what to do in Iraq. What a joke.
Oh, it is.
They're doing it just to please the administration because they won't go for it. We have to get out of there.
Oh, I agree with you.
It's going to be a bloodbath, just like Vietnam was when we pulled out of there. But when the dust settles, we'll see what happens, but we've got to get out.
Well, we appreciate your comments, and we agree with you about Lisa West, so thank you very much. 349-1320, 866 2613-20. Margo and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Margo, hi. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Margo. Welcome.
Welcome. Yes, I have a comment on the caller whose wife is a teacher.
Yes.
And she has many of her students are not proficient in English. And they're supposed to learn the English in 2 years. Children can learn English and be proficient and a lot less than that. We speak from experience. We are immigrants from Germany. My two sisters, one started first grade here in the United States. The other started fifth grade here. And within a few months, they spoke English enough that they never had to redo a class. They never had anything less than a B. And the problem is, you cannot have the children come home, have the radio in Spanish, have the television on a Spanish station. The parents also have to learn to speak English.
But Margo, if you are in high school and or you're older, not in the first grade or the second grade, and you're older, is it that easy to learn English?
I am 72 years old. I'm not in high school. We came in 1954.
No, I know, but you said when you were first and second grade. But when you come over here and you're an older person, an older student, maybe in high school age, can you still pick up English that quickly? I don't know about that.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. My husband did. He was 16. He had to go to work. He passed his proficiency test to the high school. After a couple of, he didn't pass the English part, but everything else. And within a few months, he spoke English. We still have an accent, obviously.
Well, Margo,
English is the easiest language to learn.
Oh, I don't know.
We might not be able to do all the grammar correctly at the beginning.
All right.
But you have to have help from the parents.
Well, that's, yes, I do agree with that. Margo, I thank you very much for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. She says, you know what, you can learn the language easily, can you? English is supposed to be a hard language to learn. And I'm going to tell you, I've been trying to learn Italian for a while. And I speak a number of languages, and all poorly now. But I'm always getting my Italian and Spanish, and I don't work at it enough. That's really part of the problem. Mike and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to comment about the Iraq study group.
Yeah.
I'm really glad to see that they're coming out with a nothing report. They were really nothing more than damage control for the president anyway, but I can't recall for the life of me ever seeing any of them get elected to anything.
Oh, and no. Leon Panetta's in there. He was a congressman. He was Clinton's chief of staff. You have Sandra Day O'Connor, who was not, I don't know if she was ever elected to anything, but she was. You know, you do have a sampling of people, but I think it was all designed to give the administration cover.
Well, I know James Baker III certainly wasn't ever elected to anything, and I just want to say I think that it's pathetic that they're brought in simply to provide cover and to make it look as if they're the ones that are going to be doing the hard work. That should be something that's done by Congress and the administration. And I hope that now that we have a new Congress, that they start that hard work, and they may start off on a different tack than the president really likes. And I like that.
Mike, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, today is the Lucky Tuesday edition. We're going to see lows tonight change up a little bit, around 32 degrees. We're going to see highs tomorrow, hopefully near 62. We're at 54 at AM 1320. Our traffic slowed down southbound 99 just past Fruitwood Road. It looks like we got a 2 and 3 car crash over there. Northbound Cap City Freeway, if you're coming that way, just south of Fulton Avenue, a couple of car crashes along the way, about a good mile, slowing down 5 to 10 miles per hour. And I-5, I believe it's a little slow, but I see no incidents over there, so that is good. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive, massive tubes.
It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights.
Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially.
The world has turned against this.
Your own personal Internet.
That is you and me.
You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The big news, and we haven't really gotten to it yet, but we will do that, is that Nancy Pelosi has decided that Elsie Hastings, who was an impeached judge from Florida, is not going to head up the Intelligence Committee. So we don't know if Jane Herman, they're supposed to have a frosty relationship with each other, and Jane Herman has been lobbying hard for it. We don't know what the story is there, but we do know that Elsie Hastings is not. He's been told he's not going to head up the Intelligence Committee. We've been talking about a lot of things in education, and we've been talking about how you can, if you cut out a lot of the clutter in your life, the visual clutter, the auditory clutter, the too much TV. We want you to listen to Enid Live, though, however, but read more books. Be in more silence. You can improve your love life. You can improve your family life. Your kids will be responding better. And I wanted to just share this with you. My friend Marion Cunningham, who's written the Fanny Farmer cookbooks, always said thoughts along these lines. And now another cookbook writer named Bonnie Wolfe has said the same thing. She said, family dinners are where we give our kids meals, manners, and the meaning of life. The dinner table is the finishing school, the place where children are civilized. They learn not to talk with their mouths.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The war in Afghanistan was topic A at the NATO summit today, but President Bush's mind was never far from the deteriorating situation in Iraq.
I'm Mark Knoller in Riga, Latvia. In his talks tomorrow and Thursday with Iraq's Prime Minister, President Bush says he'll discuss transferring more responsibility for the security of the nation to Iraqi forces. But at the same time, he says there is one thing he won't do, and that's pull U.S. troops off the battlefield before the mission is complete.
Mr. Bush blames al-Qaeda for much of the sectarian violence in Iraq, which the U.S. military predicts will escalate in the weeks ahead. The talks with Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki begin tomorrow in Amman, Jordan. Pope Benedict began his visit to overwhelmingly Muslim Turkey today.
I pray that it may be a sign of our joint commitment to dialogue between Christians and Muslims and an encouragement to persevere along that path in respect and friendship.
There were no large demonstrations against the Pope, who said the leaders of all religions should utterly refuse to sanction violence in the name of their faith. A federal judge has ordered the Treasury Department to make U.S. currency useful for the blind. More from CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
This legal victory has been scored by the American Council of the Blind, which pointed out that many other countries have different sizes for the different denominations. That group's executive director, Melanie Brunson, says the judge rejected the Treasury's claim that changing our bills would be very expensive.
They are periodically redesigning paper currency anyway to fix security problems.
Within 30 days, there will be a hearing on how bills can be changed, maybe adding dots or slightly raised numbers.
Nearly a year after the death of an inmate at a juvenile boot camp in Florida, seven former guards and a nurse have been charged with aggravated manslaughter. Benjamin Crump is an attorney for the boys' parents.
Martin Lee Anderson is looking down today and he's saying, "My mother and my father can rest easy."
Anderson was 14. A videotape of the struggle shows guards hitting him repeatedly and stuffing ammonia tablets up his nose. The camp in Panama City has since been closed. Ford will announce this week how many workers have opted for buyouts or early retirement packages. 75,000 were eligible. The deadline for a decision was last night. At the Ford truck plant in St. Paul, Denny Dickhausen is among three-quarters of the union members who will take the money and run.
"We're going to use part of what I get from the $140,000 to pay off a couple credit card bills, and the rest we're going to set aside there when we need it."
The St. Paul plant is one of 16 slated for closure. Today on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial's 14 points higher at 12,136. The Nasdaq gained 6 points to finish the day at 24.12, and the price of oil hit nearly $61 a barrel. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Always wet, the Seattle area is approaching a record for the month of November, and the most recent precipitation came in the form of frozen stuff.
I'm Heather Bosch in Edmonds, Washington. There wasn't a lot of snow in the greater Seattle area, but it was enough to really slick things up, make it icy and dangerous. Driving was treacherous. Work was difficult for the grown-ups, for the kids. Dozens of school districts canceled classes. Kids instead took lessons in snowball fights and how to get mom.
What are you doing with that snowball?
Don't even think about it.
All right.
Yeah. Ow! Yeah.
Heather Bosch for CBS News, Edmonds, Washington.
Cuba today kicked off a five-day celebration of Fidel Castro's 80th birthday, but it remains to be seen whether the guest of honor will make an appearance. Castro has not appeared in public since he underwent emergency surgery 4 months ago. The nature of his illness hasn't been disclosed. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
If you're a fan, only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying. Children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? And won't you turn the other cheek?
Six minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 3 of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. In this hour, we've all been talking about many, many things. And if you are just joining us, let me see if I can remember some of them. We've been talking about how bad the education system is in California. It's in crisis. It's in meltdown. What can we do about it? That nobody can find silence. And one woman called in to tell us that she, her kids are 3 and 4. No more TV now, and the kids are completely transformed. She and her husband, their romantic life is completely transformed. Their lives are completely transformed. So when you eliminate some of the clutter, and here we're coming into a very cluttered holiday season, so whatever's going on, it gets ramped up even higher. We have not talked much about politics. We've talked about many other things, but I want to share with you, first of all, that Nancy Pelosi personally delivered the news to Alcee Hastings that he's not going to be heading the Intelligence Committee. So that's the big news. We don't know who is. We don't know whether it's going to be Jane Harmon. We don't know who it's going to be yet. It could be somebody like Rush Holt, but it is not going to be Alcee Hastings. And Alcee Hastings was a difficult, he was problematic. He'd been an impeached judge. And I don't think that's what you want to start with, and that's not the message I think that you want to put out. But he is an African-American. There was a lot of pressure that he wanted that job. There's a lot of pressure Jane Harmon wants that job. But apparently she and Nancy Pelosi, it's being reported, have some sort of a frosty relationship. And everybody's speculating why, but nobody actually knows why. The other piece of news that I want to share with you is that the question is becoming, are Dick Cheney's days numbered? Well, maybe I should rephrase that. I mean, the guy's had about 50 million heart surgeries, so yes and no. But politically, I think, is what everybody is wondering. And there's a lot of speculation about whether he's going to leave. Well, I don't know if you can leave if you've been elected. Maybe you can. You can resign. Nixon resigned, so I guess the vice president can resign, too. I don't think he can be fired because he's elected, but I think he can resign. And the question is, are his days numbered? And one analyst claims that his influence is waning. But I'm going to tell you what my opinion is. But anyway, a senior columnist for an Inside the Beltway publication called the Congressional Quarterly has speculated that Dick Cheney may be the next to exit the Bush administration. And other people are speculating that as well. Speculation that Cheney could depart the White House has been rampant. And one political analyst believes it could be yet another case of crying wolf on the Washington political scene. Still, with the departure of Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and the continuing ostracization of administration neocons, the possibility isn't beyond the pale. You know what I think? He's not going anywhere. That's what I think. Because you don't walk out when you think that your reputation is on the line. You're going to stay, and you're going to want to make it work. That's what I think. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The longer you stay, the more you feel you probably can vindicate yourself. Don't you think? I know he's rich. He is not doing it for the money. It's reported that he and Jim Baker, for example, have known each other for decades. And it turns out that they have palatial estates near each other and so on. So in any event, Dick Cheney's days, are they numbered? Well, all of our days are numbered, and he's had all these heart surgeries. People are saying that they have, people who have known him for, years, say in the last 3 years, he has changed quite a lot. So here he is. He's not the same person that people remember him being. And I think Brent Snowcroft, people who have known him for decades, say that in the last few years he has changed. But, you know, if you have a lot of heart surgery, it really can alter your mental landscape, in case Cheney has much of a mental landscape. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Rumsfeld okayed abuses at Abu Ghraib. And this is according to U.S. Army Brigadier General Janice Karpinski. She has told this to a Spanish newspaper. She said she'd seen a letter apparently signed by Rumsfeld which allowed civilian contractors to use techniques such as sleep deprivation during interrogation. She ran that prison until early 2004. She said she saw a memo signed by Rumsfeld detailing the use of harsh interrogation methods. Now, here you have a situation where you've got Rumsfeld, who now is no longer in office. I don't know how vulnerable that makes him. There is a case in a German court trying to charge him with war crimes. Here is U.S. Army Brigadier General Janice Karpinski, who I believe was relieved of her command once the torture came out, saying that she saw a letter that she's claiming that Rumsfeld authorized these abuses, this torture. It's funny that they had all kinds of people that they were prosecuting, none very high up on the food chain, none very high up on the chain of command. And I think they're just prosecuting somebody now, and he's about as high as it goes, and it's not that high. So the people who really signed off on this, these are the people who are going to get off scot-free, I think. Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney, flew into Tallahassee Monday. There are no details. We don't know why, but exchanges on I-10 were blocked earlier that day, and it's expected that he's going to be in a hunting trip, and he's going to be in town for a couple of days, that he's hunting north of here, said somebody, a spokesperson in Bush's office. During a hunting trip 9 months ago, as you remember, he was doing shots, but not the kind that you do at bars. He shot his friend in the face, Dick Whittington, if you'll recall. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And so the question I'm asking, are Cheney's days numbered? Do you envision him walking out? Do you envision him resigning? Do you think he'll do it? I think no. I think he's so stubborn. He's so nasty. I think he's not going anywhere. I think it's everybody's dream that he walks out the door. But I would be very surprised if he did. And what are your thoughts about that? And here is Rush Limbaugh. Is he on or off the OxyContin? Is he peeing the bottle or drinking it? We don't know. But he's saying that because all the Bush mumbo-jumbo in Iraq hasn't panned out, we should just, quote, blow the place up. I know we're supposed to get really outraged over this sort of thing and bent out of shape, hey, but why exactly? These guys, really, the whole movement, are so pitiful, such utterly pathetic whiners and fools, it's hard to treat them as anything but spoiled children. So that's what Josh Marshall is saying about Rush. Here's what Rush is saying. Why don't we just blow the place up and walk out? We'll bring democracy to the world because liberty isn't the property of one culture or civilization, but God's gift to mankind. But if these folks won't get with the program, then, hey, we'll just nuke them. So that's what the right wing is saying. Nobody's got a solution to Iraq. Nobody knows what to do about Iraq. But here's Russia's idea. Russia's idea is blow the place up. Meanwhile, there is an actor who is a woman who is, you've probably seen her. She's Chloe of 24. She plays Chloe on the mega hit 24 on Fox. She wants to set the record straight. She says that she was at some event, and it was a dinner at the Heritage Foundation was giving, and when Rush leaned over, he kissed her full on the lips. But she wants to make sure that everybody knows they don't have a thing going and that she's not sleeping with him. Ooh, what a thought. Ooh, sleeping with Rush. Ooh, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So here's what Rush is saying. We should just blow the place up and leave. Your thoughts about that? And are Cheney's days numbered? Is he heading out? And Newt Gingrich, talk about rising from the dead. This guy, Mr. Philanderer, Mr. No Ethics to Speak Of, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, freshly arisen from the dead, and how can we tell for sure, said that the country is going to be forced to reexamine freedom of speech to meet the threat of terrorism. He said you're going to have to impose a different set of rules to reduce terrorists' ability to use the internet and free speech to recruit and get out their message. So in other words, what he's saying is we need to pretty much suspend free speech as we know it. That's what he's saying. We need to finish the work, he's saying. Talk about caving into the enemy. We need to finish the work that Osama bin Laden and the terrorists have begun. We need to cut off our speech in order to deal with an atmosphere of terrorism. We need to get ahead of the curve, he says, before we actually lose the city, which I think could happen in the next decade. He sharply criticized campaign finance laws he charged were reducing free speech. So he doesn't like that there were campaign finance laws that reduce free speech. He's happy to reduce free speech for the rest of us using terrorism as the excuse. He said that court rulings over separation of church and state have hurt citizens' ability to express themselves in their faith. You know what? He is such a pig. It's hardly worth quoting him, but he is somebody that makes waves on the national scene. His speech focus, he gave a speech focusing on the First Amendment, and he is saying that America has failed in Iraq over the past 3 years. He thinks we need a new approach to winning the conflict, that the U.S. needs to engage Syria and Iran and increase investments to train the Iraqi army and a national police force. How does a defeat for America make us safer? Well, yes, that's true. He says he's not going to decide whether he's running for president until September of 2007. Does anybody seriously believe that he has a chance? I mean, this is a guy who, when his first wife, was in intensive care suffering from cancer and the aftermath of her surgery, or I forget if it was cancer, I think it might have been, but it was surgery afterward. She was in intensive care. That's when he told her he wanted to divorce her. So remember when we talked about Nora Ephron, how people, friends of Rumsfeld, are shedding big crocodile tears because Rumsfeld got fired? And there's never good time to fire somebody, but people always say, oh, they fired me when it was on my birthday. They fired me when I was in the hospital. They fired me when I was on vacation. She said, you know, that misses the point. People are bent out of shape, not because they got fired on those days, but because they got fired. So here is Newt Gingrich. You know, his wife is, he's firing his wife. She's in intensive care, but he doesn't care because he's just a jerk. And he cheated on, I think, most of his wives, if not all of them. Now he's married to someone a lot younger, and he sort of looks worn out. That could be the reason. So is Dick Cheney going to walk out? I don't think so. They're saying that his influence in the administration may be waning now that Jim Baker is back. I don't know. Here's Rush Limbaugh saying that the Bush administration should just blow up Iraq because their program hasn't panned out. So just blow it up and leave, that would be what we should do. That's Rush Limbaugh. He doesn't really probably mean it or believe it. He just knows that it will play well for his audience. And so that's what you're getting with him. 349-1320. Or maybe he's, you know, maybe he's on OxyContin. Who knows? He doesn't know what he's saying. And, of course, he can't hear himself. So that's another, you know. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. And you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow-moving traffic, southbound 99, just past Fruit Ridge Road. We have a defective signal light, northbound Bradshaw at Florin. It looks like that's stopping traffic down just a little bit. And Bradshaw Road at just south of Jackson Road. Ooh, we got a couple of cows in the middle of the roadway there. Stop it. That's actually stopping traffic. And if you have an update today on your traffic commute and your after-work commute, give me a call. You can call us at Enid Live at 349-1320. Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320. Sacramento's left channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Come in to
sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. Stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. To Enid now, 349-1320.
Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking politics. We're talking about Rumsfeld okaying the abuses at Abu Ghraib. We know that Dickey's trying to raise a half a million. No, not a half a million. I think it's 500, half a billion, sorry, half a billion dollars to build his presidential library. And he doesn't have to say who the donors are. So, you know, talk about buying access. This could easily happen, not that it hasn't already happened, with his administration. Dick Cheney, they're speculating that he might just walk out the door. Do you think he will? I think he won't. I think he's in there for the long haul. Rush Limbaugh saying that we could, what he thinks we ought to find, he said, just blow the place up. Just let these natural forces take place over there instead of trying to stop them. You know, everybody comes to us, so we go and we try to fix it, and our own people, Democrats and the left in our country, do their best to sabotage our efforts, and then we get blamed for trying to clean up the messes that these people start. Is he crazy? He is crazy, this guy. Limbaugh is nuts. I mean, you cannot believe anything he says. Now, Dickey has said that he believes in bipartisanship, right? How he wants to work nicely, play well with the Democrats. Well, given that, listen to this. He has just made an appointment. He has made all these conciliatory statements the day after the election. But his latest recess appointment, and remember, Bolton, John Bolton at the UN was a recess appointment because he never could have gotten him through, and he couldn't get this guy through either, is a guy named Eric Kerouac, who is now head of the federal government's family planning office. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that this is a guy so extreme and such an extremist, so out of line with scientific thought that it is difficult to describe his views without laughing. Listen to this. So he's just been appointed by Dickey, who says he wants to play nice with the Democrats and be bipartisan. Maybe he means bisexual. I don't know. Maybe he means bipolar. I don't know that either. But here it is. Here is he is named. This is a recess appointment. Eric Kerouac is head of the federal government's family planning office. As medical director, Eric Kerouac was medical director of an outfit called A Woman's Concern. It's a small chain of nonprofit pregnancy counseling clinics that offer no information whatsoever on birth control. He has agitated against abortion and even agitated against contraception, including for married women. So he's against contraception. And if you're married, he's also against contraception. The organization continues to push the discredited nonsense, the one that he headed, that abortion increases a woman's chances of breast cancer and is more dangerous during the first 8 weeks of pregnancy, when in fact the risk of complication is actually at its lowest. Birth control, according to A Woman's Concerns Tortured Logic, this group, A Woman's Concerns, this small chain of nonprofit pregnancy counseling clinics that offer no information whatsoever on birth control that Eric Kerouac headed up, their tortured logic has it that birth control and abortion are both demeaning to women. And Kerouac himself has argued that women who have sex with multiple partners alter their brain chemistry in the process, making it harder for them to form close relationships. So this sterling example of I'm not sure what has just been, Dickey has just appointed this man, Eric Kerouac, to head the federal government's family planning office. He doesn't believe in contraception, even if you're married. He thinks that birth control and abortion are both somehow demeaning to women. And he has argued that women who have sex with multiple partners alter their brain chemistry in the process, making it harder for them to form close relationships. Well, is this also true of men? If they have sex with multiple partners, do they alter their brain chemistry? And is this harder for them to form partner close relationships? This is the man, this very man, Eric Kerouac, who will oversee $283 million in annual Department of Health and Human Services grants for providing access to family planning education, which you can imagine under him what that will consist of, and contraceptives to all who want and need them. The administration, reports the Los Angeles Times, is still wasting $158 million a year on abstinence-only education programs that the GAO concluded this month have not been shown to work and at times put forth misleading information about condoms and AIDS. Kerouac does not need, this is the scary part, Senate confirmation, so there's not much Congress can do about a president who continues to select anti-scientific ideology over basic competence. But this is, what would this administration know about competence? Aside from making it clear that funding for these programs depends on HHS using the money as intended. But the real check on Bush's silliness comes from voters. On November 7, efforts to limit women's reproductive rights were routed, not only in California and Oregon, but in South Dakota and in Kansas. Appeasing social conservatives is not just bad policy, it is becoming losing politics as well. What are your thoughts about the appointment of this man who to head up the federal government's family planning office? He doesn't believe in contraception, whether you're married or whether you're single. He thinks that if a woman has multiple sex partners, your brain chemistry is altered and you can't form close relationships. And he's against abortion. He thinks that abortion increases a woman's chances of breast cancer, when in fact that's not the case. 349-1320. Any thoughts about this dope? 866-626-1320. Nora, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nora.
Hi, Enid. I called on a different subject, but gosh, this one is just so delicious. These guys always are wanting to help out the ladies. Not a single one of them has ever stepped up and talked about ejaculation control. And that's all I'll say on that subject. But I wanted to comment on the president's...
Well, yeah, go ahead. Well, they're verbally ejaculating these preposterous ideas.
Well, there's that.
Yes, there is.
I wanted to comment on the presidential library. I think the president could probably get a hold of Pacific Bell and get an old phone booth, because that's about the square footage he'd need for properly housing my pet goat, which is the only thing that I'm aware of that he's read.
He will have enough room for 100,000 copies of My Pet Goat.
Well, you're right there.
Uh-huh.
And as far as Dick Cheney resigning, who could possibly step up and hold the hand of the boy king?
Well, here's the question. Has anybody actually seen Dick Cheney drink a glass of water while Dickie is talking? These two dicks are joined at the hip.
They are joined at the hip, and it's troubling, and it's not surprising that Daddy has had to send in the old hands to bail his son out of yet another failed business venture.
Well, his father has spent his whole career as a parent bailing that kid out. In part, the father wasn't there very much, so it was the silver fox who raised those kids. It's always been in all the biographies. It's always been reported that the old man wasn't around much. He was out working. He was out doing politics. He wasn't there, and so it was a head-to-head relationship with Dickie and his mother. And that's
hey, Enid,
yeah.
Can you entertain one more comment?
Sure.
All this talk about cutting and running in Iraq, and if we did that, it'd be the end of the world. How come there's been a deafening silence about the cutting and running that we did in Afghanistan?
You know, I think that's really a good point. I have no answer to that question, but maybe somebody else does.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent question, Nora. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Nora asks a great question. How come no conversation about cutting and running in Afghanistan, which is exactly what we did? We just left it. We were en route to something there, something that we really were doing some good work with, and we just left it. We ran away. But here is the other question I'm asking is, you've got this bizarre appointment. Bush has said that he wants to work in a bipartisan spirit with Democrats. So how is it that he's making this bizarre appointment? A guy he has appointed, this is a recess appointment, so he doesn't need Senate confirmation for this. This is sort of slipping it in through the cracks where he can pander to his base. Now, remember, he's a lame duck. He's got no other elections planned. Maybe he's trying to make it up to the party. I don't know. But his latest recess appointment, and Bolton to the UN was one of those recess appointments, is this guy, how do you want to describe a guy who was medical director of a small chain of nonprofit pregnancy and counseling clinics that offered absolutely no information whatsoever on birth control. This guy, his name is Eric Kerouac, has agitated against abortion, and he's even against contraception. Even if the woman is married, he's against contraception. I don't know if he's against contraception for men, but he's against contraception for women. And he thinks that if a woman has sex with multiple partners, it alters their brain chemistry in the process, making it harder for them to form close relationships. He believes that abortion and contraception are demeaning to women. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. How is it that somebody like this gets appointed? And the administration, according to the GAO, is still wasting $158 million a year on abstinence-only education programs that everybody has concluded don't work. They work as well as the don't smoke advertising campaign that Philip Morris runs. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So let me ask you, what about this guy? Let me ask you, why is he in this job? Let me ask you, how does this signal bipartisanship with Bush making this kind of a bizarre appointment? I mean, a guy who is completely ideological, how do you put this person in charge of the federal government's family planning office when he apparently doesn't believe in family planning? I don't know what he believes in for men. Whether he believes that birth control for men is okay or not, but he doesn't believe in it for women. I don't know how he feels about men having multiple sex partners, whether it alters their brain chemistry, but he believes that that's the case for women. And he's going to be overseeing $283 million in annual Department of Health and Human Services grants for providing access to family planning education and contraceptives to all who want or need them when he doesn't believe in contraception. He held a post at what was essentially a Christian pregnancy counseling center that gave you actually no counseling at all. So here he is. He regards the distribution of contraceptives as demeaning to women. He is actually an OBGYN. He's going to advise Secretary of Health and Human Services Mike Leavitt on matters such as reproductive health and adolescent pregnancy. He's going to oversee all these zillions of dollars in annual family planning grants that, according to HHS, are designed to provide access to contraceptive supplies and information to all who want and need them, with priority given to low-income persons. The appointment, which, is, as I said, is a recess appointment, and it does not require Senate confirmation, was the latest provocative personnel move by the White House since the Democrats won control of Congress in this month's midterm elections. Bush last week pushed the Senate to confirm John Bolton as ambassador to the UN, and this week has renominated six candidates for the appellate court judgeships who have previously been blocked by lawmakers. Democrats said the move belies Bush's post-election promise of bipartisanship. The Kerouac appointment has angered many family planning advocates who noted that the Christian Counseling Center that he headed up preached sexual abstinence until marriage, that it opposes contraception, that it does not distribute information promoting birth control at his six centers. So this is who has, so why, I mean, 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Linda in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Enid, the comments that I had were regarding what you said about Newt Gingrich and the separation of church and state and the Bill of Rights. And what my problem is that for years I've heard these bizarre things. They're always trying to take our rights away and change the Constitution. And then I don't see it making front page news. And I find that to be really, really strange that...
Well, I mean, are you talking about Newt Gingrich's speech?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he was giving a speech to a bunch of people, and he's not in power, so it's just his thoughts. He's deciding whether or not he's going to run for president. So I wouldn't call it front page news. They're just the thoughts of an adult human being.
Well, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I think he probably speaks for a whole faction of the Republican Party, but they're all addled.
Yeah. You know, and then the comments that you made about Rush Limbaugh, who is the man, is something is seriously wrong with him.
Yeah, but he's so rich, and he's so...
I know.
And he's so beloved by the people who support him that he's in his own alternate parallel universe.
I know. I'm surprised that there are things that he says doesn't make the news with someone making an alternate comment about the idiot comments that he makes. I mean, blowing up all of Iraq. I mean, the only way to win the war to
he would love it. He wants it in the news. He wants all that. He wants that publicity. It can only help his ratings. That's why Rush says these provocative things. He's in it for the buck. That's what. Linda, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. All right. You know what Woodward's next book is going to be? Bush in Rehab. Oh, by the way, guess who's seeing a therapist now? Kramer. It's not rehab, but it's almost. Bob in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to share your outrage that the guy that's appointed at what, family services or don't have kids, just say no or something like that.
No, he's head of family planning. He doesn't believe in contraception, even if a woman is married. If a woman has too many sexual partners, he thinks that it alters her brain chemistry. He doesn't say what he thinks about a man if he has too many sexual partners.
Well, I can vouch for one of that. The man has too many sexual partners, and I haven't had, you know, I'm not going to talk. There, you know, but I can guarantee that my mind is addled at this age. I could say Bush $145 million and just say men got the problem, and you know maybe women do too. But I mean, why spend so much money on such an idiot? That's
the point. Bob, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-2613-20. John and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, this latest appointment by Bush, in my mind, is no surprise at all. And the fact that he, you know, is trying to make nice and say he's going to be bipartisan, that part of it is politics. That part of it was for the TV cameras. This appointment, though, I think goes to what he's really about, which is he's really not about politics. He's got an agenda that he's had all along. And he has these deep-seated beliefs about certain things, and he knows pretty much that his presidency is effectively over in January. And he's going to try to...
It's already effectively over now. I mean, it's been reported that Congress is, like, picking up and going home and not even finishing the business that it was supposed to do, and this was the most do-nothing Congress anybody can remember.
Right.
So it's over for him. So why when he says, I'm going to be bipartisan, I think this reveals that he has no intention of being bipartisan. He thinks that he can still be arrogant. But what else do you think this reveals?
Well, I think that he knows that if he said what was really on his mind in front of the TV cameras, he would be vilified. I think he knows that, even though he believes in these.
Yeah, but why make an appointment that is so preposterous? Somebody who doesn't believe in birth control. He might have been able to get away with this when everything was under Republican domination. But this is so insulting and so preposterous and so stupid, an appointment, that it makes him look bad.
Well, he has nothing to lose. You see, this is a guy who, basically, he's a fanatic with nothing to lose, which, in my opinion, is extremely scary, but...
Well, it's a lethal situation. All right.
Exactly.
All right.
He's gonna do whatever he can squeeze through in the remaining few months that he's got, and if he can do it through the back door or through the cracks or however, he's gonna do it, because this is what he wants, and it's the only way he can do it, and so he's going to take every opportunity he can to get this kind of stuff through, because he has nothing to lose. He didn't help the last election. He's not going to help the next one. He doesn't have to run again.
Well, the New York Times is speculating. It's like, what direction is this presidency going to go in? Is he now working on his legacy, or is he working on trying to pave the way for the next election for the Republicans? And so they're speculating in which direction. But this just look, you know, here's a guy who's got two twin daughters who have been reported by the Argentine press as running naked through the halls of their hotel room. I can't believe he's anti-birth control. Can't believe it at all. John, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Our traffic, a little slow moving, I believe, southbound 99. However, I did get a report from the lady actually who was just on the air from you, and she said that I-80 is actually really pretty good and just going past Arden, really smooth going traffic and very impressive and surprising. Low 36, high is going to be about 60. We're 54 at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence,
great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her renewal by Anderson Replacement Windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson Windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Laugh Channel.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 542 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. You can join the conversation. It's toll-free. If you've never called a talk radio show before, think about doing it. 349-1320, 866-620-6120. Given the complete mess the president has made of his job during the past 6 years, people would not be surprised if Bush in Rehab were the title of the next volume of Bob Woodward's History of the Administration. Maybe there's a subtitle there. I was drunk when I invaded Iraq. There. Then he goes off and he goes into rehab. This is Dickey. For 2 months of drying out, followed by a book contract with Simon & Schuster, a teary confession on 60 Minutes, and the $250,000 pop speaking circuit. There it is. Alcoholics Anonymous veterans have said that Bush is a dry drunk, someone who quit one day and is just holding on for dear life. Christopher Hitchens, a writer, claims that the president was no more a heavy boozer than any other wealthy layabout his age, but that he used drinking as a hurdle to overcome in order to be saved by the Lord and thereby get in good with Christian evangelicals. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to Mike in Sac. Hi, Mike. You're live with Hi. Enid. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, welcome, Mike.
Hi, in regards to the recess appointment, I believe if I'm right, it has to, he's appointed for a year and then has to go through committee.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said I believe the recess appointments are allowed to serve for a year and then have to pass through committee.
Oh, and then they have to pass through committee. Oops, somehow you got cut off. All right, sorry about that. Thank you, Mike. Okay, so what we're talking about, if you're just joining us, besides Bush and rehab, and who else is going into rehab? Oh, well, therapy, not rehab. Kramer. Kramer continues his mea culpa. Now it's therapy. Bush says he is in favor of bipartisanship. He's trying to stress that he's going to play nicely with the Democrats, but he has made this incredibly bizarre appointment of somebody to head up the family planning programs at the Department of Health and Human Services, who has worked at a Christian pregnancy counseling organization, who's anti-contraception even for married women, who believes that abortion and contraception are demeaning to women, who believes that if a woman has too many sexual partners, that it will alter her brain chemistry and she will be unable to form close relationships with anyone. He doesn't say how he feels about men. 349-1320. Rush Limbaugh, who has nothing to say that's useful, believes that what we need to do in Iraq is just to blow the place up and leave because he's got to be an apologist for this administration and they don't have any idea of what to do. The Iraq study group is going to come out with something, but something kind of wimpy that says we shouldn't be leaving, but it doesn't say that we should be staying either. And as Iraq burns, Americans are shopping. The competing TV news images on the morning after Thanksgiving were of unspeakable carnage in Sadr City in Baghdad, where more than 200 Iraqi civilians were killed by a series of coordinated car bombs, and the long lines of cars filled with holiday shopping zealots that jammed the highway approaches to American malls that had opened for business at midnight. Well, it is a contrast. And why that would be is that most of us don't have any skin in the game. We don't have any, the people whose children are in Iraq, those are the ones who are maybe not shopping with the same abandon. So here you have a guy heading up the Department of Health and Human Services, the contraceptive part of it. And he's somebody who doesn't believe in anything that he's supposed to be in charge of doing. Does that make any sense to you? Why would Bush do this? He says he wants to work with Democrats, but he wants to slip this one through. He also wants confirmation of John Bolton, who the Democrats would never confirm. He's got a list of these horrible judges that even Republicans don't want to see confirmed because they are so ideologically extreme. And why is he doing this? Is it to pander to his base for the next election? I'm not sure. Maybe you have some ideas about it. And when it comes to the contraceptive issue, he's very hard on women, and I don't hear any comments at all about men. So I don't know where he stands on contraception for men. I think it takes two to tango, but I'm not entirely sure about that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow-moving traffic mentioned earlier, southbound 99 just past Fruit Ridge Road. It looks like we have a car crash. I-80 westbound doing nicely, 55, 60 miles per hour, as well as 50. As far as I can see in my latest update, it looks like we do have a three-car crash just past Watt Avenue in westbound. Otherwise, nice and smooth, I guess, is the word we need to use on this one. It's usually not really very fast over there on 50, though. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they've been.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. The only right thing.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? Let's upload on all my America.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about Bush in Rehab, a new title for a Bob Woodward book that he could be doing. His appointment of a guy to head up family planning for Health and Human Services who doesn't believe in it, at least not for women. It's just an amazing appointment. This is Dickey's latest appointment and a recess appointment, which means no Senate confirmation. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, particularly when Bush says he wants to be bipartisan. Well, maybe he's in rehab and he doesn't know what he's saying. Jen and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Enid. I am a social worker for DHHS. I work for CPS. And, you know, I'm infuriated that this guy gets to spend all this money and doesn't believe in contraceptives and family planning, actually.
What is CPS? What does that stand for?
Oh, I'm sorry, Child Protective Services.
Oh, right. Okay, Child Protective Services. Well, this is, but you're doing it at the state level. You're working at the state level, right?
Actually, I work at the county level.
Okay. Well, this is a guy who believes if a woman's had too many sexual partners, it alters her brain chemistry and that she can't form close attachments. He doesn't mention how he feels about if a man has too many sexual partners. He thinks that a contraception is demeaning to a woman, and he doesn't even believe that a married woman should use contraception. So how are you putting this guy in charge of this very thing for the at the federal level? I don't get this.
I don't get it either. I think, you know, that we need to start taking some of the people that work on the front lines with the people that can benefit from this money and put them in the appointments. This is ridiculous.
Well, this guy is a screw you to the Democrats is what he is. That's the only thing I can think of.
I think this is a Bush going na 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 na.
Well, I think it's, you know what, I think he thinks he still doesn't have to account to anybody. That he's still the boy king here. That's what I think.
Bush just never ceases to amaze me.
No, I know. It's a sad and revealing story. Thank you for the call, Jen. And also, if you've been watching the tabloids, and this has been interesting to me, the tabloids always have an installment on the state of the Bush's marriage, which is, if you believe the tabloids, is disintegrating very quickly. And what's interesting about it is that Laura's supposed to be very angry every time he goes away with Condi. I'm sure it's not true. I think it's all trumped up. But in any event, so he's been traveling with Condi on all these foreign visits and so on. Power. Power is not only an aphrodisiac, but the biographer of LBJ observed that power doesn't corrupt, it reveals. And in addition to revealing, it also changes people. Talk to me about that. Power doesn't just corrupt, it reveals, according to LBJ's biographer. And it doesn't just reveal. Power changes people. Can you give some good examples? Rob in Lincoln. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
this particular position, it doesn't require any confirmation. So I think this is really his way of giving the finger to the new Congress.
I think you're right. I think he's... Oh, well, I guess that's all he had to say. I think that's exactly right. I think he's flipping off the Democrats by saying, you know what? Hey, you won, but I can still do things, and I can still... It's a screw you, is what I said, and that's really what it is. And so if you have any other thoughts about that, I'd like to hear about them. Meanwhile, it isn't... I was intrigued by this particular... pandas have a hard time mating. They don't need contraceptive devices because they aren't having enough baby pandas. And it's a real problem for zoos. So after years of painstaking research, scientists have figured out a way to help pandas mate. And particularly China's giant panda, which is an endangered animal. Well, they have panda porn. I'm not making this up. They have panda porn videos that are teaching pandas how to mate with each other. And apparently, the pandas are getting the message. It is one of the many techniques that have been tried over the decades to get captive pandas, which are notoriously poor breeders, to do it and to do it right so that you get a baby panda out of this thing. So pandas don't need contraception. Humans do. But pandas need to do it more. And they're finding that panda porn, panda videos, showing them how to do it, and to stimulate them, I guess, have paid off. And China is using panda porn. Now, I can't even imagine what panda porn would consist of. But what they are using is an audiovisual approach. It's the same idea, apparently, as chimps who see people smoke and then they copy it. And I didn't know pandas are prone to be such great mimics, but
Tomorrow he flies to Amman, Jordan for crucial talks on Iraq. Today at the NATO summit in Riga, Latvia, President Bush was focused on that other war in Afghanistan. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is traveling with the president.
Declaring that NATO helped turn Afghanistan from a totalitarian nightmare to a free nation,
President Bush calls on the 26-member alliance to stay the course there, though he didn't use those words.
Today, Afghanistan is NATO's most important military operation.
And on the eve of his talks with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, Mr. Bush said he's willing to be flexible, but there's a limit.
There's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to pull our troops off the battlefield before the mission is complete.
But he does want Iraqi forces to take on more responsibility for the security of their country. Mark Knoller, CBS News, with the president in Riga, Latvia.
The controversy over secret CIA prisons is back with a draft report from the European Parliament. It says 11 European Union governments, including Britain, Poland, and Germany, knew about the hiding places for suspects in the war on terrorism. The report also says there have been more than 1,000 CIA flights in the region. Reason to think twice about that year-round tan. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on the latest research.
Teenagers and tanning beds, a bad combination, says the International Agency for Research on Cancer. It warns there is a clear and substantial rise in skin cancer risk among people who first used them in their teens and 20s. Speaking for the Skin Cancer Foundation, Dr. Patricia Wexler of New York's Mount Sinai Medical Center sees another risk factor here.
It's the mentality of people who go to tanning beds. These are people who are probably going to be use the sun as well.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A ruling today from a federal judge could force a dramatic change in U.S. currency. Judge James Robertson in Washington says our money discriminates against the blind because there's no way just by feel to tell the difference between a 5 and a 50. All the bills are the same size. He's ordered the Treasury Department to get to work on a solution which might involve printing bills of different sizes, bills with raised ink, or bills embossed with Braille. A 26-year-old woman in Dayton, Ohio, is charged in a horrible crime. Her month-old daughter died in August of last year, and after a lengthy investigation, police have concluded the child was put in a microwave. China Arnold has three other children. Her lawyer says she had nothing to do with the baby's deaths. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and his predecessor disagree on the housing slump. Speaking in New York today, Bernanke warned,
"The correction in the housing market could turn out to be more severe and widespread than seems most likely at present. A deeper correction would directly affect economic activity through additional cutbacks in housing starts and through its effects on employment in construction and housing-related industries."
But former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan says he thinks home sales have stabilized and inventories should start to come down. The Dow up 14 points today. This is CBS News.
New Michelin tires on sale from Sears, along with family, friends, and rum balls. Something to be thankful for. With new tires, you can drive to the store to buy the forgotten can of cranberry and the extra batteries. You can go to find the last-minute gift for that last-minute nephew who shows up late with his roommate. With Michelin tires, the holidays just seem brighter.
Get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires, only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/06.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the Balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
West Virginia mining officials recommend penalties for seven people in connection with a fatal coal mine fire in January. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reports.
The recommendations for the seven Massey Energy employees are harsh, having their mining certificates suspended or revoked.
If a person's certification is withdrawn, that means that that person will no longer be able to work in any capacity in a mine in the state of West Virginia.
Karen Gresham is with West Virginia's Mine Safety Agency. The seven are being cited for violations that contributed to a mine fire that claimed two lives less than 3 weeks after the Sago mine explosion that left 12 men dead. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Arson reportedly will be ruled out as the cause of yesterday's deadly fire at a group home in Anderson, Missouri. 10 people were killed. It's unclear whether the owner was legally allowed to operate the home. 3 years ago, he was convicted of Medicare fraud. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
If you're a The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
6 o'clock. Welcome to hour four of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. You can join the conversation if you've never called a radio talk show before or if you've rarely called. Very few of you ever really do. It's we always say less than 1% of the audience, less than half of a percent of the audience ever calls in. You can do it and you can have an effect and you will be heard and you might influence people. You never know who's listening. You might influence the dialogue in a way that you can't possibly imagine. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. It's always toll free. And you can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. We've been talking about many, many things. We've been talking about odd jobs, dirty jobs. We have been talking about how hospitals have an unexpected benefit of reducing what can be terrifying and inevitable and the end to all these functions that distract your attention, scans and tests and everything else, so that you don't have to think about how bad things are and how your loved one's never going to come home. And we've been talking about education, and we've been talking about politics and whether or not Dick Cheney is going to leave. I don't think he's going to leave. And this appointment to head the Family Planning Division of Health and Human Services at the federal level is somebody who doesn't believe in family planning. So that's an amazing appointment, and I don't think it's gotten a whole lot of publicity. It's a recess appointment, so this is Dickey, who says he believes in bipartisanship, slipping this one through. You know, the ultimate flipping you the bird, because why? I mean, I don't know why. 349-1320. And then the FTC is finally writing stricter rules for robocalls. Remember in the Charlie Brown Doolittle campaign, Doolittle was doing all these robocalls, and there were a number of these. Republicans were doing them around the country. These were computerized phone calls. They would mention the opposing candidate, in this case Charlie Brown, and you thought it was the Charlie Brown call, and it always would be at an inconvenient time, and then they'd go on to trash the call. If you stayed on long enough, would go on to trash Charlie Brown, but if you tried to get rid of that call, they would keep calling you back about a million times. Well, now there are stricter rules for these robocalls, and a Federal Trade Commission is proposed to ban most recorded sales calls. So I hope that goes into effect. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Jay in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jay.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Enid, Jay. You're on the air.
Hi. Actually, it's James.
Oh, Jay.
I just wanted to call and say I've been an avid listener to you of yours since I lived on the East Coast in South Carolina, the buckle of the Bible Belt.
How did you find me in South Carolina?
Actually, online.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're delighted. And now where are you living?
Well, I'm now living in Roseville.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to Roseville.
Thank you very much. I was actually trying to figure out where exactly is the 916 area code. Now I know because I live here.
Now you do.
Well, I just wanted to call and say keep up the good job.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
And give it to the right.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. 349-1320-866-2661320. So we're having one of our great stew of ideas here. Pandas who are using panda porn videos to mate because, you know, good thing that they're not under the thumb of this guy who's in charge of Health and Human Services who doesn't believe in birth control. Well, maybe he believes in birth control for pandas, but he doesn't believe in birth control for... Well, no, then they would be good under his thumb because he doesn't believe in birth control for women anyway. Maybe he does for men, but not for women. So here's a guy who has held a post at a Christian pregnancy counseling center where they gave you no contraceptive advice at that counseling center. A last little gift to America, Senator George Allen, Senator Makaka, who was narrowly defeated by James Webb, has introduced... what might be his final piece of legislation. It is a bill that would allow the carrying of concealed weapons in national parks. The argument behind the bill is that national park regulations unfairly strip many Americans of a right they may enjoy outside the parks. The bill has passed the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources, where we all hope that it dies in a miserable death that it deserves. America's confusion about the Second Amendment is now nearly total. An amendment that ensures a collective right to bear arms has been misread in one legislature after another, often in the face of strong public disapproval, as a law guaranteeing an individual's right to carry a weapon in public. And in a perversion of monumental proportions, the battle to extend that right has largely succeeded in co-opting the language of the civil rights movement so that depriving an American of the right to carry a gun in public sounds like, to a lot of people, as offensive as stripping that person of the right to vote. Senator Mukaka's bill is, of course, being cheered by the gun lobby, which sees it not as an assault on public safety, but as a way of nationalizing the armed paranoia that the NRA and its cohorts stand for. If Americans want to feel safer in their national parks, the proper solution is to increase park funding, which has decayed steadily since the Bush administration took over. To zealots who believe that the Second Amendment trumps all others, the parks are merely another badland, like schools and church parking lots, that could be cleaned up if the carrying of private weapons were allowed. The concealed weapon advocates are doing an excellent job of sounding terrified by, quote, lonely wilderness trails. But make no mistake, Senator Allen's bill would make no one safer. It can only endanger the public. So here's George Allen on the way out. He got defeated, and they were talking about him as a presidential contender. But he made those Mukaka comments. He jumped people who he thought were hostile to his campaign. Literally, they had video of all of that. So the same videographers who were chronicling Kramer in his meltdown chronicled Mukaka's in his. But here he is. He's trying to push legislation that would allow a carrying of concealed weapons in national parks. Is this a good idea? 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Is this a good idea to allow the carrying of concealed weapons in national parks? Do you think this will make anybody safer? Remember what a famous police chief said when, you know, here's what the gun industry, what the NRA wants is what cell phone providers want. They want every man, woman, and child in America to have one, a cell phone. And I think that's what the gun lobby, the NRA, gun manufacturers, I think they want to sell these little feminine, quote, feminine little ones for women for self-protection. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not out there constantly on the range, if you don't constantly keep your skills up, you could wind up doing far more damage to yourself and being far more damaged. One police chief I know said that 15% of police officers, remember, these are people who are trained, who deal in this kind of thing presumably all the time, 15% of them have their weapons turned against them. So to be able to carry a concealed weapon in a national park, is that a very good thing? Especially if someone's up to some nefarious purpose? Like maybe somebody is in the deep wilderness being a terrorist? Or is a night stalker? Or is, I mean, I don't know. But do you think that this is what the Second Amendment is all about? And is this a good thing for Americans? Is this a good thing for our country? And I want to share with you, the Republicans, something about something that I think we haven't really, we've been talking a lot about corruption. But there's an example of it that I want to share with you. The Republicans gave the Democrats a gift that will keep on giving. And this is a guy named Roy Blunt of Missouri. After an election that repudiated the politics of Jack Abramoff and Tom DeLay, Republicans elevated Blunt from the number three spot in the leadership to the number two spot. Roy Blunt embodies the insidious, half-legal corruption that has permeated the GOP majority since 1995. His election as minority whip was a defiant Republican rejection of calls to clean up their act. Warnings by Blunt's challenger says that, you know, we have ceded the moral high ground here in letting Blunt take over. DeLay put Blunt on the leadership ladder, making him chief deputy whip. He modeled himself on DeLay, creating an identical network of state and federal political committees that raise monies from committees, from lobbyists, the same lobbyist corporations and trade associations that financed and became known as DeLay Inc. He basically put together a lot of cash. He did it under very suspect in very suspect ways. He is sort of a Republican show horse on display, a top official who remind voters why they cast ballots for the Democrats on November the 7th. So apparently he's even more corrupt. He is bland. He's unctuous. He is adept at keeping a low profile. But he turned his lobbyist team loose to win package of a bill eliminating a $50 billion corporate tax break that the World Trade Organization had ruled in violation of international agreements. These lobbyists then inserted $143 billion more worth of new corporate tax breaks, turning the bill into a Fortune 500 Christmas tree. So this is a guy you want to keep your eye on, a guy named Roy Blunt of Missouri. So we're talking about some of these Republicans. And Republican appointments, the guy who's supposed to be in charge of federal family planning who doesn't believe in it, corrupt in that way. And now you've got a guy, Roy Blunt of Missouri, who's been elevated to, I think, the number two spot. If Republicans did this, and he's got a really bad track record. He's kind of got a very corrupt track record. He is, you know, the lobbyist's wet dream is what this guy is. So maybe if the Democrats are on their game, and I hope they are, they'll be able to do something with this guy. He'll be the gift that keeps on giving for Democrats. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And in Colorado, we love Colorado, but here it is. A homeowners association in southwest Colorado has threatened to fine a resident $25 a day until she removes a Christmas wreath with a peace sign that some say is anti-Iraq war or a symbol of Satan. You have any thoughts about this? You know, these restrictive covenants that apply to some of these condos and gated communities and so on. This is a homeowners association. They're threatening to fine a resident $25 a day until she removes a Christmas wreath that has a peace sign in the center. Maybe you've seen pictures of it. They think it's an anti-Iraq war statement or else a symbol of Satan, which tells us that these people have an IQ that's not even moving the needle at room temperature. 349-1320-866-2613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Our traffic eastbound I-80 just east of Truxell Road. Looks like we have a two-car crash over there. A car has been overturned. A hit-and-run, as we are the hit-and-run capital of California. A couple of them stopping traffic down, slowing traffic. Eastbound I-80 just west of Winmer. We also have one southbound 99 just north of 12th Avenue. And San Juan Avenue at Fairway 2, there's a three-car crash over there. That's actually stopping traffic down as well. It's going to be a little chilly tonight. We're going to see lows tonight right around 33. Highs coming up tomorrow. Maybe they're 62 or 55 at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, we'll set you free.
Really?
Call her now at
349-1320. Hello, hi, how are you?
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
No more cell phones in movie theaters.
Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just do something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
At 349-1320, 866-626-1320. It is always toll-free. We're talking about a million different things today, as usual. And one of the things we're talking about is in Colorado, there's a homeowners association that is threatening to fine a resident $25 a day till she because she's got a Christmas wreath up and it's got a peace sign in the middle of it. And they think that this is an anti-Iraq war statement, and some people think it's a symbol of Satan. And you have all these restrictive covenants in some of these housing developments that are kind of, well, depressing, really. But anyhow, there's one example of it. Any thoughts? This is... The Colorado subdivision is banning this wreath peace sign, and I wonder if they're banning all wreaths or just the peace sign. What do you think? Benjamin in Antelope, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid, this is Benjamin again. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Just to let you know, I used to be in real estate, and now I'm in property management. So, and I also was a condo owner, so I've got a little bit of an interesting perspective on this for you. You know, I'm not sure. These homeowners associations are usually run by... you know, very overzealous homeowners. I mean, obviously, they're not very professionally managed a lot of the time, even the newer ones. So occasionally, you'll get something really, really off the wall like this. And what they're doing is not only, you know, supremely screwed up, but they're exposing themselves to a hailstorm of litigation if this person wants to, because, you know, displaying a symbol of religious faith, which is essentially what a Christmas wreath could easily be argued as, is inviolate, and being banning that would be a violation of federal fair housing laws.
Why? Why? Because you are prevented from expressing your religious belief on your door?
Right. And, you know, and if they think it's a symbol of Satan, well, you know what? If you worship Satan and you're a Satanist, that's your right under federal law. I mean,
well, there's a whole movement afoot trying to get the federal government, which recognizes about 5 million religions, to get the Wicca sign so that if you are a Wiccan and you die in the service of the, you know, in military service, you could have that symbol on your gravestone.
I have about half a dozen Wiccan friends. As a matter of fact, my partner's family is Wiccan, and it's just really sad that so many people... you know, have so many misconceptions about that faith. It's just really awful to see how they're treated, you know, by mainstream society, because they really are good people. And just, you know, as far as homeowners associations go, you know, they really do have a purpose, and to some extent they are a really good idea, but oftentimes they just get way out of hand.
All right, so you're saying there's litigation here. It's going to be expensive if she litigates this. They're trying to ding her $25 a day for every day that she's got this wreath up.
Right, and
it's generated so much publicity, I would hope some pro bono attorney will come forward to help her out.
Well, right, because here's the thing. Is homeowners associations, you know, they have, especially in newer developments in the West, they do have a fairly sizable budget because they'll take, like, you know, $100 to $300 every month per house from, you know, their residents. So, I mean, she could take the task on this, and if they, you know, if they keep trying to find her, you know, one of the sad things is that I used to do foreclosures. I mean, not actually, like, foreclose on people, but do loans for people who are in foreclosure, and a lot of times their house would be going to sale because, you know, they just kept having homeowner's fee upon homeowner's fee piled up until it was thousands of dollars and they couldn't pay. And the homeowner's association had a lien and they'd take them to foreclosure. So, I mean, they really kill the spirit of homeownership a lot of times, these homeowner's associations.
Wow, I had no idea that they were such tyrants.
I mean, they can be nasty, just downright, you know, awful. The, you know, especially in this area alone, because, I mean, there are more, you know, condos and homeowners associations in California than the rest of the U.S. combined. So it's the kind of thing I'd expect to hear about in, like, Elk Grove.
Well, I have a friend who heads up his homeownership board, and he says the level of contention among the board members and the residents is just amazing. They tried to paint the building. They did wound up painting the building in a lot of subtle different colors, the exterior painting of the building. And it was just one, people complained. You couldn't satisfy anybody. It was really it was a tough go all around because he lives in a building apparently where there is a lot of contention.
You know, and it's really unfortunate because, you know, a lot of people in Colorado are very liberal, laid back, you know, kind of outdoorsy, and you know, I grew up there for a couple of years and I was around those kinds of people fortunately, but you know, you go farther south, and it's just a hotbed of evangelical rightism.
Well, Colorado Springs is meant to be that, which made Pastor Ted's situation all the more delicious, because Colorado Springs has actually recruited to have all these really far-right fundamentalist organizations headquartered there. So they are a hotbed of exactly what you're describing.
Well, the land was cheap out there, and, you know, unfortunately, in cheaper areas you get, you know, you get a lot of right-wing people, which is really unfortunate for a younger person.
Wait, are you painting in a broad brush stereotypes that if the land is cheap, you get right-wing people? You wouldn't get anybody left-wing on cheap land?
Well, the problem is like, if you want to live in an area that's predominantly liberal, I've found that it's always more expensive.
Why? Why do you think that is? Like San Francisco, it's a fortune.
I think it's because income is tied to education, unfortunately, and a willingness to learn, and sometimes the means to learn is tied to is tied to your background, regardless of race or color or nationality. I think it's just an economic thing. And I think that, you know, out in Colorado, also, you know, you're close enough to kind of really traditionally conservative areas like Kansas and Nebraska, and, you know, they push a little bit further west because Colorado just has a better infrastructure than those states.
Colorado's really a lot of fun, and it went blue in this election. It had been red for a while, and this was really good to hear. And I felt like I had a little something to do with it because I was working in Denver, and at that time there were was all conservative talk radio. We just sort of carved it out listener by listener. So
yeah, I lived in Evergreen for 3 years. So I mean, it's just so beautiful there.
It is.
It's good to hear that they're kind of coming back to. It seems like that's their root.
What laughingly refers to itself as reality. Benjamin, we're going to have to leave it there. I thank you very much for the call, and thanks for the explanation about homeowners associations. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. In California, in the state of California, the auto industry said that lawsuits over vehicles' greenhouse gas emissions could eventually force manufacturers to eliminate big SUVs from the market in California, an assertion denied by environmental attorneys and the State Air Quality Board. If we lost, now it's a threat to Californians about the greenhouse gas emission levels, but if we lost in court, said GM, Certain vehicles could not be offered for sales. Vehicles that consume more fuel than others, there would be fewer SUVs, and we might not be able to offer them for sale in California. It could spell the end of the big SUV in California. And can I tell you, boys and girls and buckaroos, pookies and possums everywhere, for my money, I could say adios to those SUVs anytime. I mean, tell me, do you really need a four-wheel drive to go to the supermarket, which is where everybody's driving these days, or to the office? You really don't need it. You don't need those SUVs. They are just this illusion that you are riding in a vehicle that you feel protects you. But it really doesn't. Actually, the rollover rate is higher with SUVs. That center of gravity is such that there are many more accidents. They are less secure than ordinary cars. But I know everybody thinks they're very cool to drive. But they're huge gas guzzlers, aren't they? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Is anybody out there willing to finally swear off an SUV? They're just all over the place. There are these looming behemoths everywhere, and the bigger, the more gross, for my money. And here is General Motors, also having their own set of problems, saying that if we lost in court about the greenhouse gas emission level, then they would not offer certain SUVs for sale, vehicles, they're saying, that would consume more fuel than others. The spat over what may happen to SUVs in California stems from a pair of federal court lawsuits that have been going on for years, but are back in the news because one of them is scheduled to be argued tomorrow before the U.S. Supreme Court. In that case, California, along with 11 other states and several environmental organizations, wants federal limits on vehicle emissions of greenhouse gases. You know, one of the reasons that the big three are in trouble in Detroit are because they put all their money, because SUVs were selling so well, They weren't thinking beyond the sales of SUVs. And then when gas got very expensive, sales of SUVs tapered off quite dramatically, and they were in more trouble than they had been, the big three automakers. So I'm asking you, are you an SUV driver? Well, I mean, why are you driving an SUV? What do you need it for? I have a friend who carts her kids around in an SUV because she thinks that it's safer. But it's really not safer. It's actually more dangerous. They've done all kinds of studies. And they're huge gas guzzlers. Do we know of any SUV that is gas efficient, that is fuel efficient? When gas goes up to $3.50 a gallon, as it probably will again, are you going to be sorry you've got that SUV? Do you really need a four-wheel drive vehicle to get to the grocery store, to get to the dry cleaner, to get to the office? Do you really? I mean, it's one thing if you're going, if you're going up to the mountains or. And you need a four-wheel drive vehicle. But really and truly, if you were being honest about it, is there anybody listening to Enid Live who has sworn off SUVs, who has had an SUV and decided, you know what, it's a gas-guzzling vehicle meant to be hip, but way more expensive to the environment and to my pocketbook, and I don't really need this. And actually, other vehicles are far safer. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together. From the left with Lisa West.
It is from the left. Thank you so much. Southbound I-5 just north of Florin Road. Looks like we got a vehicle on the right-hand side slowing traffic down a bit. Southbound 99 just north of 12th Avenue the same. Otherwise, our traffic eastbound I-80 just west of Madison Avenue, a three-car crash there, but really not slowing traffic down too much, as well as a hit-and-run Journey's End Court at Old Dairy Drive in North Sac. That is stopping traffic over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
A sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
When my son started having...
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about many things. We're talking about homeowners associations that don't let you put up a wreath that has a peace sign in the middle of it because they don't know what it looks like. They think it's anti-Iraq war statement. They think it's a Satan sign. They're going to fine you for that. And it may be highly illegal to do that. And we're also talking about, the big three, at least General Motors, saying if they don't win a certain court case, they might be able not be, because dealing with greenhouse emissions in the state of California, they might not be able to sell those big SUVs in California. And aren't we going to be out of luck? I'd be thrilled. I'll be dancing in the street. I hate those things. First of all, they're not comfortable. They're big gas guzzlers. Most people don't need them. And I'm told you don't even need four-wheel drive to go up to the mountain. Well, maybe if it's slippery, don't you need it then? I don't know. 349-1320. Have you sworn off SUVs, or are you mad at me for saying it? You don't need four-wheel drive to go to the grocery store. Face it. Dan in North Highlands. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Dan.
I don't think it's a matter of whether you like them or not. I think it's a matter of, you know, a freedom of choice, you know. I mean, where do you stop after the SUV? I have a four-wheel drive, and I've never even had it in four-wheel drive, so.
So why do you have it?
I don't know.
Is this a style statement, Dan?
What's that?
Is this a style statement?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it was at the time when I bought it.
Well, and how much does it cost? What kind of mileage does this thing get?
Well, this is not an SUV. I have a Toyota. I have a pickup. It's not an SUV. So I get about 15, 16 miles to the gallon.
In your dreams.
No, I do. It's just a little Toyota pickup.
Well, do you need it? Well, okay, but it's not. Well, all right, then let me ask you, is freedom to smoke in your face and blow smoke in your face also a freedom of choice issue?
No, that's not. Well, no, if you're going to put it that way, then, you know, that's
a public health issue. But if you are contributing to greenhouse, you know, to global warming.
Well,
and these greater greenhouse gas emissions, and you don't need that kind of a vehicle, you're not doing the universe any good. And you're not doing your pocketbook any good either. You could get something that was more fuel efficient.
I'm not saying I don't agree with that. You know, what I'm saying is, where does it stop? I mean, what about the guy that rents the limousine?
Well, we're all on this. Well, where does it stop? We're all on this planet together, Dan, and everybody's got a responsibility. So to drive it because it's a style statement, but it's a gas guzzler contributing to greenhouse gas emissions and contributing to global warming. I mean, you got to think about that. And especially, it's one thing if you really need it for your work. And your life, and you say, you know, but I've got to balance off one thing with another. But you don't. You just said you didn't. It was a style statement.
Okay, what about the guy that rents the limousine? And, you know, one guy in a limousine, I mean, that's a gas guzzler. Do you eliminate limousines, too?
Well, I don't know if we eliminate them by law, but maybe we make people think twice about them. What about the governor who's got a Hummer,
He's always busy. He's always involved with Hummers one way or another, isn't he? And in all senses of the word. But he's got a bunch of Hummers, and what do they get, about 12 inches to the gallon? He says he's not gonna drive it right now. Dan, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-613-20. Kay, in Woodland. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, I have to tell you, I am a new listener.
Oh, welcome.
So I've really enjoyed some of the topics you've had, and I find myself being more aware of some issues that I didn't know too much about before.
Well, how did you find us?
So, regarding the SUV?
Yeah, before you go there, how did you find our radio station, Kay?
How did I find out about your station?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in my car a lot. I sell real estate.
Okay.
And I'm in my car a lot, and I got tired of the station I was listening to, and it was before the election. And I am a registered Republican, and I decided I wanted to hear some other issues and different sides of the story, and started tuning in to 1320, and one thing led to another.
Well, we are delighted, and thank you.
So, I have an SUV. It's the small one that Lexus makes. It's not a gas guzzler like the big ones, but it does get between 18 and 22 miles to the gallon. This is a first SUV for me. I did drive a sedan before, but as I said, I sell real estate. And for me, it's a convenience of picking up a lot of people, real estate signs that need to go in the back. You know, if I stage a house, I need a large vehicle to get all of my staging paraphernalia inside. Plus, we do have a cabin in Tahoe, and it's a lot easier having a four-wheel drive than putting on chains.
So you do use the four-wheel drive part of it when you're
yes.
when it's snowing and it's you don't need to have chains when you've got four-wheel drive.
Well, you know, I assume that since I have snow tires, and this is brand new for me because, like I say, I just bought it last month, but I have snow tires, and in my previous experience in riding with other SUV owners, I've never had to put on, or they've never had to put on any chain. So I'm sure there's going to be those situations. If it's that bad, I guarantee you I'm not going to be on the road.
Well, it sounds to me like you have a lot of good uses for your SUV. But I think a lot of people don't. And I do want to tell you, though, that there is a different center of gravity and there are more rollovers with SUVs than with, sedans or cars that have a lower center of gravity.
Right. But one of the key factors, if you've ever done any research with Lexus and their safety factors, you know, we've got the side impact airbags, we've got the overhead airbags, and just the... I read a lot about the safety issues before I bought a car, so I'm pretty content. I'm also a very defensive driver, so I hope that won't be an issue down the road. But thank you, and, you know, it makes me more aware of other SUVs on the road.
Well, I'm delighted that you called us, and I'm even more delighted that you found us, Kay, and thank you so much. I hope you'll call us again.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So here's Kay, and she really uses her SUV for a lot, you know, there are a lot of reasons why she needs her SUV. She uses it for work. She uses it up to the mountains. She gets some decent mileage. And so that for her, that works. But there are a lot of people who don't need an SUV. They're just doing it because they think it's cool. That it looks cool. They're not driving up to the mountains. They don't really, you know, they're not needing it for their business or for hauling stuff around. But they think it protects them. And really, I don't think it does most of the time. And I don't think that's in controversy anymore. Plus, they are gas guzzlers. I think you can get better mileage with smaller cars. So here is General Motors trying to scare Californians. Really, they're scaring themselves because SUVs have been mostly what they've been about, or a lot of what they have been about. They have not adapted as well as they should have to other forms of vehicles. And they're saying that if they lose in court, Certain vehicles would not be offered for sale. Vehicles that consume more fuel than others. There would be, they say, fewer SUVs, and we might not be able to offer them for sale in California. Could spell the end of the big SUV in California. Well, for a while, I think it was Ford trying to make this mammoth SUV, this really, really huge. And then I think something happened, and they weren't able to do it. Whether there were some regulations involved precluded an SUV that big. I mean, why do we want vehicles like that? What is that all about? You know, what would Freud say about that? And I know we love our vehicles, we love our cars, we love the freeways, we love all of that. But still, 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Oh, I was down in Union Square on Black Friday, I have to say, in San Francisco, and PETA was out in full force. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. People eating tasty animals. And they were all over the place. All over. They don't want you to go and buy furs at all. They show these really grisly pictures of poor animals who are beaten up and everything else for their hides. And now they are targeting Lionel Richie's daughter, Nicole, because she's been wearing fur in public. And they say that wearing fur adds 20 pounds. But if she wants to fill out her frame, they're suggesting that she ought to use a fork instead. Oh, that's so mean, because she might have an eating disorder. Oh, who knows if she has an eating disorder. One of the things that we've been talking about and tracking on Enid Live is newspapers, because I love newspapers and I read them. I read a lot of newspapers every single day. But a lot of you aren't reading newspapers. Maybe that's my job, is to read them so you don't have to, because circulation is down in most of the major newspapers, probably all of them. It's probably down least in a newspaper like USA Today, which you can just sort of inhale and get through very quickly. And that is its great genius. They can really digest stories to the essence. They cut right to the chase. You don't have to scramble around and reading a lot of paragraphs before that are just huffing and puffing before you get to the major point of the story. And somebody was ranking them. Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post was ranking newspapers. Who are the first tier of newspapers? What are the first tier of newspapers? And he had this to say. He said, I think that the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal are widely seen as the top tier of American newspapers. And I have to tell you, for those of you who are conservative and Republicans, and I know we have a big conservative and Republican audience to Enid Live, you believe that the media is liberal, and you have it all wrong. It's not really liberal. The New York Times, on its editorial pages, may be sort of moderate-leaning leftish, but on its news pages, it's reporting the news. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting the news on its news pages, but its editorial pages are very, very, very right-wing. But it doesn't keep me from reading the Wall Street Journal. It's one of the best-written newspapers around, and they do wonderful stories. So these are the top tier of newspapers, according to Howard Kurtz, and he is a media columnist for the Washington Post. He says the New York Times, the LA Times, which I love reading, by the way, Washington Post and Wall Street Journal, widely seen as the top tier of American papers, and the Chicago Trib, and he believes the Boston Globe, a notch below. In the past, the list would have included the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Miami Herald, both former Knight Ridder papers that have suffered their share of cutbacks. And I don't know which ones McClatchy still owns. McClatchy took over Knight Ridder. He said, goes on to say, the Atlanta and San Francisco papers certainly have their strengths. The Dallas Morning News was an up-and-coming paper but has been hit hard by cutbacks. USA Today is influential but obviously a different kind of publication. So these are what he's listing as the top 10 newspapers. I have to tell you, I felt very sorry for the San Francisco Chronicle, and I love reading it. It's a lot of fun to read the San Francisco Chronicle. But I felt really sorry for it on Black Friday. When you got your B on Black Friday, it was filled with advertising. Lots and lots and lots of advertising. But if you looked at your San Francisco Chronicle, it didn't have too much advertising at all. And they are suffering because of Craigslist. So all the classifieds that they charged a lot of money for in the past, people don't need it. They're going to Craigslist. It doesn't cost them anything most of the time. And newspapers like the San Francisco Chronicle have suffered. And, of course, you remember that snide remark in All the President's Men. When something wasn't good enough for the Washington Post, they said, send it to the San Francisco Chronicle. But it is fun to read. It's not the New York Times, but it is as eccentric as the Bay Area that it serves. And so in that way, it's kind of a delicious read. And we love the Bee because it has its own voice. Every newspaper has its own voice. And if a newspaper is really smart, I think that a newspaper survives by being as local as possible. I mean, if you're only going to read one newspaper, I guess your newspaper has to cover the national news. It does, of course. But everybody can go online now. And if you don't have a computer, you can go to the library and be online. And you can access news anytime you want it from the top newspapers in this country or around the world. So if you really want to sell your newspaper, the local stuff is the stuff that you don't really find so easily. That's why you want, you know, where are the sales, where are the events. I don't know. The Bee doesn't have it. Wait a minute. The Bee does not have, but the New York Times does. You know, the Bee might sell more papers if they had engagements on Sunday, the engagement column. I like to read that in the New York Times. I like to see who's getting married to who. I don't know why I like to read it, but I do. And I wonder if that wouldn't sell more newspapers for the Bee, but maybe they think they're too snooty to have the engagements column. As it is now, you can buy space in the obituary column if your beneficiaries want to pop for some nice things that they want to say about you, if you're not important enough to get into the newspaper on your own. But I don't see any engagements or marriages in the Bee. Is maybe nobody getting married in Sacramento or the area? Could that be it, do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Traffic's looking pretty good. Smooth ride home, southbound 99, northbound 99, just south of Elk Grove Boulevard. We have a vehicle in the roadway, but that's actually not stopping traffic, and everything is looking pretty good. Enid Live will continue on this Lucky Tuesday edition at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Talk radio for the left of us. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
What's your secret?
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Well, you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left-handed listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
Six 54 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about a lot of different things, and we're talking about newspapers and what will help sell newspapers, because they are all suffering serious circulation problems. They are all declining circulation, and many revenues are flat, if not declining. I'm thinking that they need to be more local. And in the B, why don't they have the engagements and marriages? Well, maybe. And the divorces, too. Why not? Bob in Citrus Heights. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Enid. Hi, just wanted to talk to you about, you know, you're saying the editorial pages are mostly liberal. Well, actually, most of the news, the way they report the news comes up that way, too. And
how do you know that, Bob? Unless you were there reporting the story, how would you know if it was a liberal slant or not? The newspapers try to be objective. There's no such thing as objectivity. They're trying to tell you what happened. In their editorial pages is another story. In the case of the Wall Street Journal, it's completely right-wing. But their reporting is straight reporting on the reporting pages. And there is a difference. You got to make the distinction between the editorial pages and the reporting pages.
Well, the distinction I'd like to know
the is... The news pages.
Have you read any good stories about Iraq? Is anything good happening there that this country's doing?
Wait. You think that nothing good is happening, that good things are happening, but it's not being reported? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
How do you know that, other than wishful thinking?
Because I've heard it.
You've heard it from who? Rush Limbaugh? What does he know? He couldn't get as far away as... He's gotten as far away as he could from the military. Don't go there, Bob.
I happen to... have friends that are in the military, lieutenant.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, everybody coming back says, everybody coming back says it's a mess there. And the Wall Street Journal, which has the most right-wing pages, is not telling us that anything good is happening in Iraq.
Well, I tell you what.
So, God bless you. You want
to... I think they'd like to believe that... They have more than they do, and people don't think for themselves, but...
All right, we're going to... Bob, I thank you for the call. Oh, my God. There's somebody who is believes that wonderful things are happening in Iraq. Okay, well, let's find out what's happening in Iraq. There's a new film called The Ground Truth. It's hailed as powerful, quietly unflinching. It's a searing documentary featuring exclusive footage, and the subject is patriotic young Americans, ordinary men and women, who heeded the call for military service in Iraq as they experienced recruitment, training, combat, homecoming, the struggle to reintegrate with families and communities, the terrible conflict in Iraq depicted with ferocious honesty in the film. Well, it is showing at the Varsity Theater, and we have tickets to give away. So you be callers 5 and 6, and the first caller who calls will get 2 tickets, 5 and 6, and the sixth caller, so number 5 will get 2 tickets, and number 6 will get 4 tickets.